Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Friday, the 19th day of August, 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. Many days, as you know, we go into overdrive at PrisonPlanet.tv and the audio streams at Infowars.com. But the official radio transmission is 3 hours in duration, starting September 1st, of course. That's coming up in just a week and a half. That's a Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Every night, 5 nights a week, the InfoWars nightly news. We'll also have InfoWars special reports multiple times weekly that will be tagged onto the end of the nightly news. Joining us coming up later in the broadcast is the legendary New York narcotics detective Frank Serpico. One of our producers noticed that on his own blog, it sounded like Infowars.com, so we contacted him, and that is scheduled for today. Also, we have our weekly visit with Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster to break down the big developments in the economy, and Richard Reeves, who's been a big volunteer supporter and delegate working with Ron Paul in the last election. He's here to talk about real strategies to really get Ron Paul elected, and that, of course, is being a delegate from your district in your town or city, or at least working to be one, because you can educate people throughout the process and fight party insiders from trying to block Congressman Ron Paul. So Richard Reeves in studio today. That said, we're working on some really big guests next week. I'm just going to leave it at that. For listeners, you'll definitely not want to miss any of the broadcast next week. You know how I like surprises. I say it at the start of the broadcast every day now. It just gets more and more insane by the day, by the hour, to the point of completely being overwhelmed here. We obviously have the economic news. Futures tumble as global recession fears spread. World stocks plunge on growing recession fears. Obama is taking a two-week vacation in the middle of all of this. That's become a big national issue, and it should be. But again, he's a puppet in chief, and he knows it, so why should he be there reading off a teleprompter? He's just going to hide out and reward himself with a long vacation for a job well done, pacifying the public, making them think that everything's going to be okay. You know, we've all seen the clips of high-level black Democrats in the Senate and House saying that they don't like Obama, and he sold them out. Nancy Pelosi being booed by her own insiders, saying she's a sellout. Well, she sold out a long time ago. I mean, what do you people expect? You think Republican insiders like Rick Perry or Mitt Romney are going to reverse the tide of criminality that's running out of control? Do you think Democrats are going to do that when they've been bought and paid for their entire careers? Anybody who the mainstream media praises and gives attention to is an establishment individual, unless that attention is demonization, like Ron Paul. And I saw a Pew Research piece out that Kurt Nemo wrote about yesterday, showing that Ron Paul gets the least amount of media coverage in their own analysis than any other candidate. Well, we can already see that ourselves, but here it is scientifically broken down. Even though he is in the top three candidates, and undoubtedly even the AP admits steering the entire Republican side of the election right now in the primaries. He's dominating. He's setting the debate. He is the leader. And so they're freaking out saying he can't win, he can't win. That hoax imploded Monday. And so now they've shifted to, a Keebler elf might have once heard him say something racist, and he's not a medical doctor, and he kidnaps women. I mean, you're going to get the exact same dirty tricks you saw against Rand that were completely false. But they were so wild that some people bought into it until it came out that they were staged events, and then it backfired on the establishment, and Rand got a 10% turbocharge there in the last few weeks of the last election. Okay, I haven't even gotten into the latest treason. Obama is legalizing the illegal aliens by fiat. Why does he need a Congress to launch a war? Why does he need a Congress to put TSA on the streets? We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It is Friday, the 19th day of August, 2011. I'm Alex Jones, your host. The legendary New York narcotics detective, Frank Serpico, is scheduled to be joining us later in the broadcast today. We also have our weekly visit with Bob Chapman on the economy, extremely timely right now, obviously, with the global meltdown accelerating. And, of course, we also have my good friend Richard Reeves, a great political analyst, activist, talk show host in his own right, joining us in studio to talk about strategies to ensure within the party structure that Ron Paul wins the nomination, or bare minimum that we block a Mitt Romney or someone like that. It is Richard's view that, that Barack Obama would be even better than getting a Rick Perry in, because if the Republicans get the House, the Senate, and the presidency led by Rick Perry, Mr. Forced Inoculation, Mr. NAFTA Superhighway, Mr. North American Union, Mr. Amnesty for Illegals and In-State Tuition for Illegals. I mean, this guy, Al Gore's former chief of staff, is an absolute nightmare. At the end of the day, I probably even disagree with Richard, and we'll debate it today when he's in studio with us, because and it's probably just a sign of the times that the elite are going for broke. But Obama's doing things that no president has ever done since the Civil War, since what happened with the suspension of the Constitution for, I don't know, 5 years under Lincoln. Well, I guess 4 years under Lincoln, and then for another year or two under Ulysses S. Grant. And that is completely ignoring Congress and the courts. And that, of course, is our top story today that I'll be getting into after I go over some of the other news here. Obama has launched a war now 4.5 months in Libya and told Congress, you don't have any authority. I'll do whatever I want. My authority comes from the UN. The exact quote is, my authority comes from the UN. I've done this for the credibility of the UN. And it certainly does expand its evil credibility. I mean, he's saying, I'd take my orders from them, not from Congress. He's put carbon taxes in and regulations over power plants all across the country, particularly coal-powered, and factories that are not insiders. He's given all his insider buddies complete waivers on record, General Electric and others. He has instituted anti-gun moves outside of law via the ATF and four Western states, and has said he may come out with an executive order putting people on no gun buy list who have no criminal record, and with no due process, no judge, no jury, can't find out why you're on the list. And undoubtedly they're going to have beta tests where they show examples of Muslim extremists and people who weren't criminals, but that they stopped with this program just to sell the idea so grandpa can't buy a gun and veterans can't buy a gun. Very, very dangerous time. He has obviously worked with the traitorous leadership of the Republican and Democratic parties, Mitch McConnell, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and Mr. Boehner, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, to set up the Super Congress. And it is in the news as of yesterday that tens of millions of dollars have been paid directly to the 12 leaders of the council, who will now originate spending and cutting bills, which is officially pretty much everything. Everything's tied to the power of the purse in Congress. So bills don't originate now the way they have for 200 plus years out of any member, and then are debated that they come out of a committee. You can vote it up or down in the full House or Senate with a simple majority vote, not large majorities like you need for most spending bills. And there's no debate on it. And there's no filibuster in the Senate. I mean, this is earth shaking type stuff that is happening right now. And it's so incredible to actually see it happening. It's one thing to know that it's coming, but now it's here. And now Obama has announced, and the way this has been spun in the Austin American Statesman here where I live, and in the Washington Post, and a whole stack of news reports, that, Obama's going to decide who gets deported and who doesn't, and he's canceled 300,000 of the latest deportations, 2 years ago, it came out in the Associated Press that they would do these staged raids on meatpacking plants and facilities that weren't part of the insider groups. In one case, arrested 1,100 people plus, and then took them to the ICE facility and gave them green cards on the spot and released them. And, of course, the parts of the border fence Bush built, and then Obama continued for show, it came out in AP and Fox as well that those were being built predominantly by illegal aliens. I mean, you can't make stuff up like that. It's so ridiculous. So we're in the North American Union. We're inside the North American Continental Security Perimeter that they officially call the North American Union. Bush signed the secret treaty in Waco, Texas, with Fox of Mexico and Cameron of Canada at the time. And it's just incredible. It's absolutely off the charts to see something like this happening. I'm having one of those moments. It's not Cameron of England right now. Who was the prime minister? Guys, look up. I'm having one of those moments. A prime minister of Canada, 2005. Paul Martin Fox and Fox. So Fox, Bush, and Paul Martin. Double check that again. My memory's failing. Sometimes the most simple things, like a few days ago, I couldn't remember the name of the disease that mosquitoes can pass on, malaria, and then it popped in my head. So we have launching wars and saying, I don't need any stinking Congress. We don't need any stinking badges, carbon taxes, environmental regulations, gun laws, but they're not laws. Now, U.S. to review deportations. Focus on criminals. So they'll decide now. Now, the DREAM Act and that they've tried to ram through, and they got through in California, again, gives more tuition to illegals, basically. The Bush amnesty, they tried it four times, and then Senator Sessions actually released it. The final time they tried it in 2008, they were unable to get it through when it was publicly debated. So there was a news headline that the Senate bill was secret, but they said, trust us, there's no amnesty. And then Senator Sessions leaked it, and the report he put out was called 20 Loopholes in the Immigration Plan. And he went ahead and released it, and they threatened to censure him, but they really couldn't. And it said not only was it total amnesty, in a way, it was true. It was an amnesty. It was a pardon. It said the hundreds of thousands of felon illegals living in the U.S. who were U.S. felons, that if they just signed a pledge to not commit more crime, that they would be legalized. And so this is a bipartisan, traitorous program to basically end the United States and end citizenship as you know it. And so they're spinning it in the media like, well, you know, 300,000 people, they're just going to, you know, deport the criminals if they feel like it. But I remember Houston Chronicle articles a few years ago where they reported over 200,000 illegals released in 1 year out of Texas jails alone, many of which were felons, arson, armed robbery. I mean, illegals are really above the law. Police will tell you, it's been in the news. I've talked to Austin prosecutors off record, that if police do arrest illegals for drunk driving or no ID or reckless driving, they're given a $5 or $10 fine by the judge. And then the sheriff's department, the police department, the state police are then reprimanded. Just like they said, there's not a quota for tickets. Now it's admitted all over the country. All these jurisdictions do have an unwritten quota. Well, it's the same thing. There is a unwritten rule. You don't arrest the illegal aliens. You throw the book at citizens. And I told the story many times. One night, one of our IT contractors, we had a problem, and I had to come let him into the office. And as I drove up, the contractor was in handcuffs with two police cars around him, and his driver's license was expired. He hadn't gotten it renewed. And I got out, and the cops bowed up, and then they all three of them knew who I was. And, oh, hey, we're listeners. How you doing? I said, man, what are you guys doing? Oh, well, we're arresting him for no ID, expired ID. And I said, but if he was an illegal alien, you let him go. And he goes, well, that's right, but I don't care. I'm retiring in 6 months. Hey, have you heard of my band? I play all over. Thousands come out and hear us. This black guy was the most senior of the three cops there, and a black Austin cop. A lot of you cops out there listening probably know him. I forget his name. And I said, you know, this is wrong. And I said, if he was an illegal, you let him go. And he goes, yeah, because the judge would just let him go for $10. And so there's no point in arresting him. But this is what we're supposed to do, so we're arresting him. And then they put my contractor in a car. They allowed him to have it to give me his keys. He got driven off to jail, and then another squad car pulled up, and another senior group of cops got out, and they were listeners. In fact, the most senior guy was a white guy. He was not a bad guy, but he was stuttering and hardly talk when I was talking to him. A lot of cops may know who that is. It was over here in South Austin, and I was talking to him, and I said, you know, police are getting out of control. You guys are being trained to act like thugs. And he goes, I know, but I'm getting out of here. I'm retiring in 6 months. My band's so popular. Oh, you got to come see it. I said, you know, I was just in New York, and the police, if you ask them directions, scream at you and say, do I look like a telephone book? And he goes, you know, that happened to me. I was playing a big convention in New York just last year, and I asked an officer for directions, and he screamed at me. Man, I don't like that. I hear what you're saying. So I'm there talking to these cops. They're all nice guys. But they still nice guys that selectively enforced and put an American citizen in a car and took him to jail. And I think they took him to jail because they got all excited and had called it in because they saw him pull into the office park and were checking it or something. And once they'd gotten into that alert mode. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. The contractor had come into the office, and then they'd been banging on the doors, and he came because I guess they knew it was an expired license by running the plate, and they were running around in my office. I forgot that part. Oh, yeah, the cop, it was just so ridiculous. I mean, the guy knew full well who I was. He was going, do you film porn in there? And I was like, no, I have a radio show. It was just, they were like crazy gang members.
Optics Planet is calling all hunters, shooters, and outdoorsmen. It's time to gear up. As the best online retailer of rifle scopes, red dot sights, lasers, and other firearm accessories, Optics Planet has a special deal to offer GCN listeners. You may already know OpticsPlanet.com has the best selection of weapon lights, holsters, night vision, binoculars, and tactical gear on the planet. With incredibly low prices, free shipping on most orders, and USA-based phone support, Optics Planet is the online retailer of choice for discerning gun owners and outdoor enthusiasts. Featuring Loophole, Blackhawk, EOTech, Crimson Trace, Night Force, Trigicon, Surefire, over 700 top brands. For a limited time, head to opticsplanet.com/GCN to get a free Streamlight Keymate, the world's most powerful keychain light with purchase. That's opticsplanet.com/GCN or call 800-332-OPTICS right now to speak with an Optics Planet product specialist. 800-332-6784.
Over time, end up taking over a government, selling the public on a police state in the name of safety, and then the insider interests shut down all their competition, consolidate the economy, and the society implodes into a third world banana republic. The wages of globalism are abject poverty and oppression and humiliation. And it's not too late to turn this around. There is a big awakening happening. The question is it happening fast enough to beat the tyrannical clampdown that's happening worldwide? Everything we've talked about so far, right on time, has happened. Gold is at $1,860-something bucks last time I checked. And the devaluation of the dollar is moving forward. They're holding Europe hostage for trillions more to the private banks, or they will fully implode their economy. Europe will pay the ransom. The bankers will then implode it even faster. By the way, Rick Perry, and we've been looking into this, has always gotten big bank funding. And I was looking into his Texas state filings last night. Big money from the big top six banks. And I'm working with my writers to get a report on that out by next week. But other writers that are listening, you ought to scoop us and do it. All I care about is that the information gets out there. Because Rick Perry says that he thinks that the Federal Reserve is treacherous and almost treasonous, really, a foreign banking private group running the country and running it into the ground by design and openly calling for world government and carbon taxes on every man, woman, and child. fully financing Obama's campaign. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, others gave four times the money. Some banks, five times the money, but on average, four times the money that John McCain got. And again, it wasn't that John McCain was a good guy. It was that Obama was the next horse. He was the guy that they had picked to win, like a Don King fight. And so whoever gets the big banking money, you know, is their man. And he just announced, obviously, on Saturday, but already Rick Perry is getting big banking money. The big darling, even above him, because he's been in the race for a few months, is Mitt Romney, absolutely globalist financed, just like Rand Paul's, both of his competitors in the Republican primary and then in the main election for the Senate seat in Kentucky. The banksters just opened the coffers up, tens of millions flowed in. With Obama, of course, it was close to $1 billion and more than half of it from the big mega banks. And then that way they both own both sides of the fight. That's why they're all going after Ron Paul. But there's a Zero Hedge article that we've got linked up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Bank of America, dead drop to Rick Perry. We will help you out. This was a few days ago when Perry was in New Hampshire. It was caught live on C-SPAN. And you see one of the top minions of Bank of America come over to him and say, hey, it's Bank of America. We will help you out. Total mobster. It said, should we be surprised, frightened, disgusted, or simply say we knew it? That the informal mixer, just after Texas governor and Republican presidential candidate Rick Perry spoke at a politics and eggs breakfast in Bedford, New Hampshire, an unknown gentleman approaches a casual Perry like an Ian Fleming character out of James Bond and proceeds to dead drop the following. Bank of America will help you out. And silently moves on. At least we know now who is funding what and whose interest potential future President Perry will be paid to defend. And it looks like on the video, Perry nods very excitedly. So we'll go ahead and play that audio caught from a camera about 15 feet away. Perry doesn't know this is on camera. Here it is.
Bank of America, we will help you out.
All right, there you go. Let's back that up for folks again. Bank of America, we will help you out. And I've been trying to look at that guy's face, but he looks like a well-known Bank of America exec. We need the media to dig into that and find out exactly who he is. Let's go ahead and play that clip again.
Bank of America, we will help you out.
Did you like that? He knew how to walk right over and just get right in his ear and say, Bank of America, we will help you out. And that guy's body language, classic exec cookie cutter right out of Central Casting, is, hey, I'm dominant, you're subservient, Perry. We want you to be our minion. There's the Associated Press. Bank of America to cut 3,500 jobs, mainly the customer service type people, because they don't need that anymore. They've got the banker bailout money. They've got presidents that just pay them trillions so that they then don't loan the public money. And then the government pays them interest on the money they're holding. We went over that yesterday. We're going to come back and get into some of the other news, and we'll also break down Obama. He doesn't need Congress to legalize the illegals.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
That is the legendary Dave Mustaine of Megadeth. Say hi to Dave out there listening. Appreciate his work exposing the globalist with his new album, Endgame. If there's a new way, I'll be the first in line. But it better work this time. Okay, I'm going to open the phones up in the next segment and then for the first 30 minutes of the next hour ahead of Frank Serpico, the legendary New York detective who exposed government drug dealing. And we were on his blog, and it basically looked like Infowars.com, his views questioning the bin Laden raid, the Norway shooting, government drug dealing, Fast and Furious, and a lot more. And he is scheduled to be on today, but he called us last night. And 90% chance to be on today. If not, it'll be Sunday or Monday. So we're looking for Frank Serpico to be on the show later in the broadcast. Obviously, Bob Chapman is going to be joining us. You know, I have thought about covering this. I had first heard about this about a month ago, and I'm still reticent just because I don't know what to think about it. But I may have some comment later on a report everybody's sending to us out of the Washington Post, Salon, you name it. Have you ever had sex with Rick Perry? The wishful ad hominem attack. That's what the Washington Post says. And a local ad set to run in the Austin Chronicle either this week or next week. I'm not sure. They say it's going to run next week, but next week would have come out yesterday. I haven't read the publication yet. And the gentleman, Robert Morrow, has been in contact with us for about a month and says he's heard from all these people that Rick Perry basically behaves, in his words to me, in a voicemail. He's been talking to some of the staff like a porn star when he's on the road. Look, we know Bill Clinton did do that type of stuff. And anybody that reported on it got a state police visit and their legs broken or their brains blown out. And a lot of that stuff did come out and get confirmed later. But I've also seen a lot of rumors put out. I have no doubt people are telling him this. And I don't think the guy's lying. But I people say I'm a space alien. People say that, I work for the Vatican, folks. I'm not even Catholic. Or they say I work for Israel. You know, things like that. So I just, over the years, just because people say something and someone's told him this doesn't necessarily make it true. I mean, I've lived here in Austin since high school, since my last couple of years of high school, and a few years in Dallas. Since Rick Perry's been in for 10 years, all I've ever heard is about Rick Perry's sexual escapades, and I have never seen one piece of proof on it. Okay, it may be there. These politicians are egomaniacs on average. These sellouts show themselves to be crazy, to have no moral fiber. If you'll try to forcibly inoculate little girls with a vaccine, you know, killed people in the trials because the drug company wants to get vaccine damage fund funds. And if it becomes mandated by the government, they'll get it. So they dump a dangerous drug on the market knowingly. And Rick Perry is the political whore out of all the politicians in the country, chief executives in the country, that they find who will make the call. I think that's a crime a billion times worse. I mean, he has the blood of children on his hands, and I've said it. It's a bold statement, and I can back it up. I can back it up that he got awards from Macinte Fox for giving in-state tuition to illegal aliens. I can prove he had his buddies introduce the TSA bill and then quietly killed it himself so he could claim that he was for it but then still kill it. I can prove that he tried to hand over 8,000 miles of Texas roads to a foreign company. I can prove he went to a Bilderberg group meeting and is a globalist. I can prove he worked for Al Gore. People can't even believe that. So for me, I just think that the issues are what we know about Rick Perry and what we can prove. And I said 2 days ago, I said to my crew, I said, when this starts getting media attention, these reports were being sent, they're going to spin it and say, this guy's a Ron Paul supporter. This is a dirty trick from Ron Paul. And sure enough, that's the spin yesterday and today. So, I mean, I know politics, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I do. I eat, drink, sleep it. I wake up at 3 a.m. thinking about it. I did last night for about an hour. This is what I do. Okay, I live it. Like an NFL football coach lives, breathes, sleeps football. And so I don't know. I want to talk to this Robert Morrow guy a little bit more. Maybe I'll talk to him during the next break because he's been calling us quite a bit since we called him back, and I need to get on the phone with him, and maybe we'll have him on in overdrive today or something to really get to the bottom of this, because it's a free country. I mean, this is kind of a Larry Flint type deal. Larry Flint puts out ads saying, hey, the intel is this preacher is visiting prostitutes, or this senator's got boyfriends or girlfriends, and a lot of times it comes out. A lot of times, though, then the aide who the congressperson supposedly visiting with, you know, her bones gets found, you know, out in the D.C. Park. I mean, this is dangerous stuff. Because let me tell you something. If there is any meat and potatoes to this, Mr. Morrow better be watching his back. Just like I told the D.C. madam. Because this is dangerous. This is dangerous, dangerous, dangerous stuff. All right, enough said about that. All I know is Rick Perry's record is he is slicker than Bill Clinton, wickeder than George W. Bush, more arrogant. He's a bigger, long-legged Mac Daddy, as some people have said about Barack Obama, Pastor Manning. I mean, you talk about a long-legged Mac Daddy. You talk about arrogant. You talk about a confidence man. Rick Perry is it. And stinks. I mean, I have no doubt looking at his MO, looking at just the way he behaves, the way he operates, and the way I've seen him operate in public, that he is a wild man. And where there's smoke, there's generally fire. I mean, I live here. Now, I haven't heard over the years that it's women. I've heard it's men. That Rick, and again, with no proof, but it's constant, 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 constant. They've had newscasts in Austin years ago about it's only a rumor. It may be. Is it some dirty trick? I don't know. So that's why I pretty much stay away from all of this stuff. I've had run-ins with Rick Perry. You know, he's grabbed the phone away from a reporter and come on the radio on record and called me a big fat hog and bunch of other stuff. Rick Perry, when I was in a restaurant one day, walked over to the table and said, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving coming up. You know, really giving me a buddy, I'm Don Corleone look. And I was sitting there, you know, eating my enchiladas. And I looked over and he went over and sat down with his wife and kids. So I didn't pull out a camera and get in his face. I leave people alone with their families because I want to be left alone. But, you know, I have that old chivalry idea about things in politics, but he was really asking for it. Or maybe he was trying to be nice. I don't know. Comes over to the table, puts his hands on the chair behind the person sitting right across from me, looks right at me, and says, I want you to have a great Thanksgiving, Alex. And just put his eyebrows up and just looked at me, and I'm going, okay, all right, you too. He wanders over to the table, sits down with his family. They were already there. He got there late. He went the whole story. We were in the back room at Loewe Leon. It means the lion. Mexican restaurant over on East 6th. Or is it East 7th? I forget. And I was over there with the crew, the TV crew at the time. We were doing the local TV show over there. And they go, there's Rick Perry staring at you. And I turn, and Rick Perry's at the door about 15 feet away looking at me. And I'm looking at him, okay. And he goes away. And then I guess he made sure his security detail, because I saw them start milling around by the door, and then he came in and did his little thing. Then a Fox News host told me in confidence, and I guess that was said in the, I mean, I wasn't told I couldn't talk about it. I said, just don't say what host. But I guess people figured that out and some other things. I still have sources in Fox. A Fox News host told me, I don't know, over about 14 months ago, the strangest thing, Alex. You know, he called me, he said, the strangest thing. But then I told the story, and now that source won't give me information and won't come on the show. You might guess who it is. Still likes us, still sends nice messages, but that's the end of it. I guess they came down on him. But he told me it's the strangest thing. Rick Perry, at a Tea Party event in Texas, I won't say what city, pulled me aside in the green room and got me in the corner and said, I'm really worried about Ron Paul and Alex Jones. That's who I fear. I'm really worried. I talked about it at the time. I'm really worried. I'm really worried about them. All right, now I'm digressing. I mean, why is Rick Perry worried about me? Why? I don't know. I guess because the governor's office admitted they got over 10,000 phone calls when they had a bill they tried to pass where the CPS could take your children for absolutely no reason and was going to try to restrict homeschooling. I think that freaked them out. I know with the whole machete thing, Rob Dew called their office to say, is the state funding the machete program? And the governor's office runs the film commission that gives state incentives to Texas films if they're big budget. Little guys don't get any of the tax breaks. Isn't that the way it always is? And they said, of course. And the lady gave the quote. She's the deputy in charge and said, of course, we fund all of Robert Rodriguez's films. And I said, well, if you're not letting people make other political films, why are you letting them fund this? You know, our call was to get to have tax incentives, but for everybody producing film, and that government doesn't have control of the content. This is not East Germany under the Stasi, after all. And we put our report out, and man, we get a call from the governor's head of the commission. We get a call from his press secretary, the head press secretary. And she says, that is incorrect. We're not funding this. We've not released whether we're going to fund it or not yet. But and then we found speeches of Perry saying he was funding it with Rodriguez and speeches he gave. So they understand the political power of this broadcast. They felt it with the TSA. They've felt it on a lot of issues. But pray for us, because Rick Perry is a gangster. Rick Perry is dangerous. Rick Perry is a Republican Bill Clinton. And quite frankly, at the end of the day, he's just a puppet, and I've got bigger fish to fry. So I'm going to cover your record putting that dangerous vaccine out to the public and lying and saying that everybody had to take it and the deaths and all the injuries. I'm going to expose you on the NAPTA superhighways. I'm going to expose you on your real record. But at the end of the day, I just don't know. I just have a bad feeling about all this sex stuff. I really do. I mean, I think that we have enough issues here. We have more than enough to let us know who Rick Perry really is. And I think that if people don't come forward that have been having sex with Rick Perry, or they may put phonies in there who then turn say they're lying later to make him look like a victim. I mean, there's a lot of... I mean, remember, it was Karl Rove who got Rick Perry to switch from the Republican, from the Democrat to Republican Party. It was Karl Rove who got him to switch from Al Gore's minion apprentice to Rove's apprentice. I guess, what, 1990s when he switched? And Karl Rove, on record, planted bugs in his own office to blame his political rivals. In fact, that was on a Perry campaign. He did that. And Karl Rove has moved back. They've got this fake media event going that they don't like each other and there's a rivalry and Perry doesn't like Bush. I told you a year ago that was going to start being announced, because I was told that by high-level political operatives in Texas who were on the national stage. And I know the street Karl Rove has moved back to. And I know that Karl Rove's giggling and laughing to his buddies about the scam they're running. But Karl Rove is running the Rick Perry campaign from behind the scenes. And told Perry to do the ruse of, I pledge not to run in 2012 because I love Texas. And then they had Limbaugh come out and say, oh, I'm drafting you, Perry. You've got to run. And all the other Republican leadership doing this. He's the guy they want. A lot of big corporate interest have given to Romney, but the guy they really want is Rick Perry. That's why you see the national media before even announced saying Rick Perry's the leader. Rick Perry can win. Rick Perry's the second coming of Ronald Reagan. But I've already talked about this too much. We may cover it today or Sunday. I'm going to work on it. I want to get some into the economy right now. And I want to hear from you. Obama is legalizing at least 300,000 current deportees that are in government facilities. And he's saying he's just going to let them go. And the media is spinning that. Well, he's not going to deport illegals, maybe just the felons. So, he he basically can't get Congress to pass amnesty. So anybody who ever get, if the Border Patrol does its job, remember the Border Patrol came out a few months ago and said, we've been ordered to only arrest illegals as part of photo ops when the media is sent down here. We're not supposed to arrest them anymore. And sheriffs have come out in Arizona and Texas and said, yeah, the Border Patrol's told us this as well. Well, here it is officially. Here is the president saying, well, we got 300,000 in custody right now. We're going to just release them. And they spin it like, well, you know, the president's going to decide now. He's not going to follow immigration law. He's going to decide. He's going to launch wars without Congress, new gun control without a law. He's going to pass carbon taxes without a law, put it into place. He's going to restrict gun importations without laws. I mean, they've got a super Congress now that the president controls with a veto that's taken away the power of the purse from the general House and Senate. I mean, this is all off the charts. And there's a bunch of other examples of this. I mean, we're living in unbelievable times of true treason, of true treachery. This is treachery. This is treason. It meets the threshold and surpasses it wildly. And the fact is, once they start just completely ignoring the Constitution, separation of powers, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, once they completely, I mean, they've been eating around the edges and trying to violate it here and there. Now they're just warp speed. It's like Captain Picard says, warp one, engage. I mean, Obama said, okay, we're at half impulse power, prepare to go to warp nine. Yes, sir, Captain. You know, I mean, Bill Clinton, George Bush, they were violating the Constitution, but at least lying and saying, no, we're not. Now Obama says, I don't need any Constitution. Warp one, engage. I mean, what's coming next? We'll be right back with Key Gold News. Stay with us. Talk to Frank Serpico again. He is definitely on in about T-minus 36 minutes from now. The toll-free number to join us on any of the issues that we've mentioned or raised here is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. I have not given up the source of that Rick Perry information. Obviously, we've had over the years six different Fox TV hosts on. I didn't even reveal that it was a television host last year that said that Rick Perry fears Alex Jones and Ron Paul. But I think now that we're in the election and that I did report on that last year, and I am a media outlet known for our accuracy, no matter how wild stuff sounds, that I think that's newsworthy that Rick Perry fears Ron Paul. But that's the problem. Once people know you're in the media, they say, this is in confidence, right? I had a media national figure last night on the phone with me going, I'm telling you this in confidence, right? Right, Alex? And I'm like, yes. Yes, it's in confidence. And I go, well, can I then talk about what you just told me? What can I say? I don't want to give it away. You know, with this other person, they said, no, you can say it's a host. Just don't say who. I know you have a lot of us on. You know, you could say Rick Perry said this. And I said, are you sure? Are you sure I can say that? Yes, you can say that. And then I say it, there's a big fracas over it. So a lot of times I'm told stuff and then I don't even want to come on air and tell you what I've been told. Because it's just too bizarre. Rick Perry, 14 months ago at a Tea Party event, coming up and saying, don't tell anybody, this is off record, but I'm really fear. There's only two people, you know, Ron Paul, Alex Jones, and at the time he also mentioned Deborah Medina, just any type of true constitutional challenge to what they're doing. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. I've got a lot of other news, too. Dealing with fluoride being pulled out of more and more major towns and cities in the U.S. I've got a lot of military news and economic news here that we're going to be going over. Right now, I want to bring Ted Anderson up with us for just a couple minutes. Ted Anderson, where is gold and silver today?
God, it's just another crazy day in gold and silver. Right now, we've seen a high of 1866.10. The futures market has gone up all the way to 1881 in gold. It's just crazy. And then, of course, in silver, we're sitting at 4266 at a high, currently 4232. Alex, it's just been an amazing market. Of course, the stock market down a little, the dollar's dropping even further. All the headlines that I could pull out from Bloomberg and Reuters and places like that, it just says commodities rebound as gold climbs to record in New York. Here's another one from the Market Watch. It talks about gold futures continue meteoric rise. Global markets hit a new record, U.S. stocks slip. That's another one from Reuters and Bloomberg. It's just everything that's you point at right now. I mean, the truth of the matter is that just like we talked about this summertime, is that when this fall comes, watch out. And here it is. That prediction by J.P. Morgan that we're going to see $2,500 gold. I mean, it looks like they knew what they were talking about.
Well, here's the bottom line, Ted. I talked to you just about 30 minutes ago. You've got gold. You bought it about the 1770 level. You're about to run out of that. You're about to run out of the silver you bought at the lower level. With it at 1850 or 60 right now, you can still pass on those savings right now. Give them a call, 800-686-2237.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, your calls are coming up in the next two segments, along with a lot of other important news. World stocks plunge on growing recession fears. Israel pounds Gaza after deadly attacks near Eilat. Also, they're really hyping in the controlled media, an attack on Syria. We're going to be breaking that down. Obviously, Obama has announced that they're just going to start legalizing all the illegals by fiat. He doesn't need to have a bill anymore. He had threatened months ago to just do it, and now they are. So more and more, Obama is becoming a dictator. I'd have to say he's about 90% of the way there, and if people don't get angry and upset about it, he'll go all the way. So we'll be taking your calls coming up in the next segment. JJ, Nico, Keith, CJ, and many others that are patiently holding. I wanted to finish up with Ted because I got him on late. Ted, this is just incredible. Again, where is gold and silver right now?
Well, we had gold hit a peak today of, hang on a second, I'm just refreshing to make sure I have it here, 1866.10, 4266 silver. Currently gold, 1848.90, silver's at 4232. I mean, it continues to rise. Remember just last week, we're looking at $1,700 gold, wondering if we're going to hit $1,800. Now we're looking at $1,900 gold. You know, U.S. Eagles have just broached $2,000. The weird part about it is you can buy 100-year-old $20 gold pieces for $2,282. It's like a 10% margin over a U.S. Eagle. That's like unheard of. Francs right now, small pieces of gold, I can't say it enough. Small bullion pieces of gold that you can use in exchange no matter what happens. I mean, we're looking at an economy that is just melting apart. And what do you think you're going to do? You're going to be able to buy your goods and services when you're hungry? You're going to be able to get groceries with paper money? You need to have silver and gold.
The system is annihilating savings, annihilating stocks. Every major commodity is skyrocketing because of global currency devaluations, not just the dollar. Every currency going down except for the Swiss franc because they're the only truly sovereign anti-globalist country left on Earth. That has not been completely taken over by these criminals. And it's so elementary, Ted. You've got gold at the 1770 level. That's what it's marketed into. That's what you paid for it, basically, at that level in the market. Now it's at 1840-something, was 1860-something. Just turbocharging. J.P. Morgan saying they see 2,500 is their prediction, or, quote, higher by December. Now is the time to move into gold and silver, ladies and gentlemen, and I know you've got a lot of silver you bought at the lower price. You can still pass on the savings. You've got a lot of gold you bought in the last few weeks. You can now pass on those savings. When the people call, they've got to ask for the radio specials. There's a long list of goodies there where you're going to get loss leader pricing that you're not going to find anywhere else. I challenge you with these radio specials. Ted's regular deals are very competitive. He has it on hand. A lot of brokers will say, oh, yes, we've got that, but most of them don't. Almost everything Ted is offering, he has. And if he doesn't, he's got it being delivered. And so they will pitch what they have on hand. And Ted, even though he's a monster-sized broker, he's having more and more trouble. So this shows you the bull market is really just starting to go here. And all you people that said 1,000 was the bubble, come on, people. I'm not going to get up here and tell you I think gold and silver is the ticket unless all the evidence I see points that direction. Does it mean it's a panacea, 100% bulletproof? No. But it's the closest thing to a silver bullet you're going to get is gold and silver. That's why they call it silver. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. I hope you call. The brokers will be there off and on throughout the weekend. If their phones are busy, leave your name and number, and they will get right back with you. 800-686-2237. And we have one of the radio deals is available online. If you go to InfoWars.com, the top right-hand corner, you see a banner saying, get two silver dollars, get two gifts free, a film and a book, and shipping. It's really three great gifts free. $88, two silver dollars, the book, the video, great film, great book, and the free shipping, $88. And Ted is going to go up on that very soon. 800-686-2237. Thank you so much, Ted. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Probably the most famous detective in U.S. history, Frank Serpico. Living legends joining us coming up in about 30 minutes from now. Talk about the history of government corruption and drug dealing, his take on Fast and Furious, and more. I'm going to your phone calls here in a moment, but Paul Watson reported on this a couple days ago, and it's linked up on drudgereport.com right now. It's official, media ignoring Ron Paul, and I wanted to just show the prisonplanet.tv viewers this and direct radio listeners over to drudgereport.com or infowars.com to see this for themselves. But there is the rankings in a deep Pew Research Center Project for Excellence in Journalism analysis of the amount of media coverage that they put into a computer system and data collating system of how much coverage different presidential level politicians get. Barack Obama gets 220% on the graph. Mitt Romney, 120%. Newt Gingrich, another top globalist, 118%. Michelle Bachmann, 115%. Donald Trump, an absolute joke, gets 95%. Sarah Palin, right at 90%. Tim Pawlenty, who's out of the race, gets right at 70%. John Huntsman, about 42%. Rick Perry, because he just got in, is right at about 38%. And Ron Paul at 33%, compared to 220 for Barack Obama or 120 for Mitt Romney. So there you go. You could just watch and see that that's the case. And when they do cover him, it's to say he cannot win. And there's rumors that he may not be a doctor, like his son. There's rumors he may roast black children in his basement with a pointed hat on while under the control of Beelzebub with dancing goblins. And yes, he killed Kennedy and Lincoln and Jesus. And he sunk the Lusitania and he may have been the one that killed the Kraken, not Medusa. Yes, Ron Paul's the reason there's a drought in Texas. Ron Paul has bad breath. Ron Paul is meanie. Ron Paul is too old. Ron Paul is big old meanie. I mean, it is ridiculous now. And I said on Monday, I said the hoax blew up that he can't win. Get ready for the racism stuff. And boom, it came out Tuesday. I mean, these people are as transparent as a mountain lake. I mean, you can look right into their souls and what they're going to do. Pray for Ron Paul, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I'm going to your calls. Look, this article, I don't even hardly want to mention it because I'd have to spend an hour on it. If you're a new listener, this is not a joke. I'm not joking. This is real. It's at prisonplanet.com and infowars.com. pay your carbon taxes to Al Gore or space aliens will attack. The biggest newspaper in England and in Europe, that's how they communicate with each other in Europe, is English. It's the world language for folks that don't get taught English in public schools here in the U.S., part of the Balkanization program. Pay your carbon taxes to Al Gore or space aliens will attack. A NASA program funded by NASA's Planetary Science Division. This is the London Guardian. Our article breaks it down, but here's the London Guardian. Aliens may destroy humanity, protect other civilizations, say scientists. And it says humans are parasites and evil. You've seen the children's cartoons they produce where it shows humans blasting off into space and aliens kill us because we're a parasite. I mean, they're telling you, you're bad, you have no rights, hate yourself. And so now NASA is coming out and saying, a NASA-funded university, and saying that we've got to pay the carbon tax or aliens are going to kill us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not joking. You heard me right. It may not rank as the most compelling reason to curb greenhouse gases, but reducing our emissions might just save humanity from a preemptive alien attack, scientists claim, according to London Guardian report. A new study conducted by researchers at NASA's Planetary Science Division postulates that green ETs, literal green little men, might get angry at Bubba driving his gas-guzzling SUV and respond by whipping humankind off the face of the earth to protect other civilizations from carbon dioxide that plants breathe. I mean, you just can't make this up, ladies and gentlemen. I go to birthday parties for my children's friends and their friends, and these families come over and they go, Alex, my child goes to public school. I'm pulling her out. Every time we drive by a building site, my 6-year-old daughter breaks down crying, saying the earth is dying. I mean, this is what they're doing. And meanwhile, the globalists don't care about the environment. They're not actually doing anything about chickens with alligator snouts. Do you know what splicing animals does? I mean, it gives rise to super viruses. You know how they test to see that a genetic mutation has been successful in a gene, in a cell they've changed? They put a, this is the main test they do, they put a antibiotic resistance in it, and then they test antibiotics on it to see if it kills the cells. And then there's big studies out showing that's giving rise to the antibiotic resistance. Do you have any idea that there's thousands of companies splicing everything randomly and how deadly dangerous that is? Oh, but let's not worry about that. Or toxic waste dumping, or nuclear power plants, 5 of them blow up, each one bigger than Chernobyl, total meltdown, massive radiation raining down in the U.S. EPA just raises the level of radiation of what they say safe from 1,000 to 100,000 times what previously was. I mean, real environmental problems that are actually affecting us, but we're not taught by the establishment to worry about that. Like leading environmentalists who are globalists like George Monbiot, they call for global government and say, this radiation is good. Chernobyl changed my mind. Fukushima changed my mind was his headline in The Guardian about nuclear power. And you read it and you go, this is crazy. No, they're just throwing it in your face. They're normalizing bizarreness. So, okay, I'm going to shut up and go to your calls because Serpico's coming up. I just, there's no end to this anymore. There's no end. And they are teaching school children that aliens are going to kill us if you don't pay Lord Rothschild and Rockefeller and Obama and Clinton and Gore. They all own part of the big climate exchange in Chicago and the one in London. Just type in Rothschild's own climate exchange. You'll get BBC News. How gracious they are to let us pay them money to breathe. I mean, it's and they just sit back laughing while they've got giant yachts and private trains and helicopters and jets and palaces everywhere. And their carbon footprint in some cases is thousands of times the average person. And then they actually lecture. Don't take hot baths. You know, we get a maid service over to do our laundry and we get behind and too busy and they lecture us about, we shouldn't wash too many of our clothes. We should wear them repeatedly. And I'm just like, water's renewable. We've got the healthy clothes washing stuff because we don't want chemicals on us. But do you know about genetic engineering? And the eyes just roll. I mean, look, you thought I'm joking? IBM unveils chip that mimics human brain, redrawing and rewinding evolution, scientists alter chicken DNA to create embryo with alligator-like snout. Come on. You know how many thousands of pharmacological crops are growing open air that grow all sorts of live viruses in them? Don't believe me? Just type in Protegen, corn that grows live HIV virus in it. AP. Let me tell you something. That's the threat. Not carbon dioxide, part of the life cycle. Okay, I can't handle it anymore. Let's go to your phone calls. Let's talk to JJ in New Jersey. JJ, thanks for holding.
Alex, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Turn your radio off
because I hear you listening to yourself. Just please.
I don't have the radio on. I'm watching you on Prison Planet TV. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm not mad at you. Listen. In fact, I apologize if I sounded grumpy. I wait to go to the calls, and then I run out of time, and then I hear an echo of myself, and I want folks to be able to hear you. So what I meant is you're listening or watching the show is what I meant. So, but I'm wrong. Let's just get back to your issue. You say you disagree. Go ahead.
No, I didn't disagree.
I just heard myself again.
Okay, I'll hang up then, Alex. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're not going to turn it off? I mean, why? Why? I want to hear from you. I don't understand that. I don't understand that I heard my voice again, and that's 101 in radio not to do it. I don't understand that, man. I don't want to be your enemy. In fact, leave a line open for him. I want him to call back. I want to hear why he disagrees. I want to hear it. I love when people disagree. It's the only time I wake up during the day. Did that line fill right back up, John? Which caller was that? JJ. See if JJ can get back in. 800-259-9031. I mean, that is uncool. But I'm like, hear blaring audio, and I go, hey, you got your radio up. No, I don't have my radio up. I got prisonplanet.tv on. Oh, okay, but I want you to be heard. Ooh, okay, I'm really upset about Obama saying that he doesn't need a constitution or a Congress anymore. He's just going to legalize all the illegal aliens. And him launching a war without approval. I mean, we're in trouble, folks. We're arguing about radios being on, TVs being on. CJ in Michigan, thanks for holding. Welcome.
Hey, Alex, thanks. Keep up the good struggle.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to remind everybody, and you've covered this story, very important story of Mary Ann Godboldo, the woman in Detroit who they CPS snatched her kid.
And they've now said because she wouldn't put them on pharmacological speed that's why they're taking her kids. Her kids were fine, but they came with a SWAT team and have now taken the daughter and drugged her. And hasn't she had gotten contracted some things since she was grabbed?
Yeah. In the facility or whatever you want to call it, prison they put her in, she got an STD. And she's 13 years old, and her mom...
Well, why do you think folks work in those facilities? They like young, fresh people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, listen, this case has got everything. It's got parental rights. It's got the Second Amendment, because she, you know, stood off the police when they try to kidnap her kid. It's got forced medication. People need to wake up.
Well, she's black. I mean, the slave masters are coming to grab the black child and brain damage her and give her diseases, and they've won another victory.
Listen, I think she's got next court is August 29th. People should go down there and rally for it.
Well, stay there. I want to hear more about the case. And yes, we have covered it at the time. I followed it, and I meant to mention it on air. Have you finish up there, CJ. And then we'll get to Nico, Keith, and Bruce and others. And that JJ guy earlier, I don't know what I'm supposed to do if you won't turn your TV or radio off. We'll be right back. All right, let's move quick. And then after server code goes, I'll get to your calls. But finishing up with CJ in Michigan, you're saying her court date is coming up. This all started when she was homeschooling her daughter and wouldn't put her on the synthetic methamphetamine that the government ordered. And now the government's got her. They've given her a sexually transmitted disease. That's in the news. They're taking good care of her. Please continue. You said the trial's coming up.
Yeah, the trial's coming up. But, okay, she homeschooled their kid, and what caused this to begin with is the girl wanted to go to regular school, so they tricked the mom and said that vaccines are required. Okay, and she took the vaccines, and she had a bad reaction. So then that's how they put her on this other medication to... You know, the mom went to go get help.
Well, that's the thing. They lie and say it's the law to go to school. You got to take it. Just like Rick Perry lied and said, you got to take Gardasil. It's the law. And they play on people's ignorance. There is no law. They're trying to get one in place. Okay, well, tell us the court date again.
I believe it's August 29th, but, you know, Google it.
I'm going to tell my producers. I've wanted to get her lawyer on. I think we even talked to her lawyer, but they probably don't know who we are. Contact her lawyer, folks. Let them know. Come on our show. We'll get the lawyer on. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and talk to Keith in Texas. You're on the air listening via the InfoWars Radio free iPhone app. Welcome, Keith. Good to talk to you, Keith. What's on your mind today, Keith? He's probably listening to the internet. This internet stuff gets behind and then folks don't know. Nico in Chicago, Illinois, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
Good. Welcome.
Well, I love your show, man. Love everything you do. And I'll make this fast. I just got a real quick question here. And you said a week or so ago that, or on one of a couple shows ago, that Rick Perry already, you know, has pretty much knelt to the Bilderbergers and stuff. Now, is this going to be the same type of thing as like when in 07 or 08 when Obama was seeing into those the Bilderberger meetings in Virginia?
Yes, we knew Obama was in there. We'd videotaped the Secret Service going in with him and Hillary. Our sources said, yes, he's inside. And we called all the national media, who at the time was running around, and this is all on film in my film Obama Deception. The national media is running around saying, where is Obama? Where is Obama? And we're like, here he is right here. Remember, he disappeared for a day with Hillary. We're like, here they are. And the media is like, yeah, we know where he is. We're just playing along that we don't know to show the control they have. And absolutely, they go and present themselves to the Bilderberg Group. And if they swear their allegiance, then they get kicked upstairs to the prime ministership or the presidency.
That's pretty much what's going to be the end result between Obama and Rick Perry. Then they're going to pretty much decide who's going to go, which one they want in. Then
that's right. Rick Perry, Obama have all gone in before the British and Dutch royalty, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, all of them, and literally sit there and pledge themselves to them. And it's just incredible. I appreciate your call. Let's go ahead now and go to Bruce in New York. You're on the air, Bruce.
Yeah, I go by Reverend Bruce. I'm a lady, so Bruce is not my first name.
Well, that's fine. Yes. We can call you whatever you like.
Okay. First of all, I just want you to know that I pray for you quite often for your protection.
Thank you. I need it.
I know you do. Second of all, I do have a couple comments and a quick question. When are you going to have archives of your radio program? Because sometimes I may miss it, and I would like to get an archive of it. Also, I do have you streamed from my website so other people can hear. And I also want to know, what do you know about Sarah Palin, Herman Cain, and the last but not least, Facebook seems to be shutting down pages like myself that puts things up there similar to what you're saying, and then sometimes I put your videos up there. And I put on Rick Perry's information on the Republican on Facebook, and I'm being hit like with fiery dots from the pits of hell. They don't like the Rick Perry situation. Let me
try to answer those questions, because that's a lot of them. And again, thank you for the prayers. Well, there were so many. First off, there's a free archive. If you go to any article on Infowars.com, you'll see a YouTube symbol, a Facebook symbol. You'll see an I symbol, and that's got the archive there. And then you can also go down to the bottom of Infowars.com, and there's another archive. When we updated the site a few months ago, I noticed that updating system had been broken, and I told the IT people to fix it. I don't know if they have. Is the archive system updating again? Or no, because we are a radio show. I would think that an archive of that. The system is not broken for subscribers at PrisonPlanet.tv. At some points, we're cutting-edge media. At other points, we're like 1996 internet. And that's why we're trying to hire more IT folks and, keep track of everything. But that's there. And then you want to know about Herman Cain, former Federal Reserve board member, total globalist. Sarah Palin, total globalist, doesn't even know which end is up. Rick Perry, total globalist. They're all complete New World Order minions. Botman, IRS attack dog enforcer. The only one who's good is Ron Paul. And that's just the facts. It's not that I'm just a Ron Paul supporter. It's that he really is the real deal. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones here, back live. We're here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. Back Sundays live 4 to 6 p.m. I will be live this Sunday, 4 o'clock Central, right here on the GCN Radio Network. If you don't have a local AM and FM affiliate in your area, you can always listen to the free audio streams at Infowars.com and see the audio and video archives at PrisonPlanet.tv. Okay, going to our guest, he really doesn't need much of an introduction. They've made big award-winning Hollywood films about him. Al Pacino played him. Frank Serpico is our guest for the next 30 minutes. He's a retired New York City police detective, author, lecturer, and policing expert. And he was born in 1936 in Brooklyn, New York. And he joins us now. I think it's probably best if Frank pretty much tells you about himself, because I couldn't do justice to it. Frank, thank you for coming on with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, so much is going on. We talked to you earlier, and you talked about basically, introducing yourself. So, Frank Serpico, who are you? What do you stand for?
First of all, I want to make a disclaimer. I don't support any party, and I'm not running for any public office. And I'm old enough to remember the Liberty Dime. Remember when it was made out of silver?
Yes.
And our dollar notes were silver certificates. We could exchange them for silver. And now the paper they're written on, it's not worth it. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, on September 11, 1959... I joined the police force in New York City and found out there was widespread corruption. I was working in uniform, and I just noticed that some officers were shaking down motorists. Now, I want to say at the onset, there are lots of honest cops out there. The only problem is, even today, when they want to report corruption, nobody wants to hear about it. And they downgrade statistics so they can tell you that, the crime rate is down. Then I went undercover, and I found out they weren't only shaking down motorists, they were shaking down drug dealers. My superiors were not interested because most were getting theirs off the top. So I went to the New York Times, and on February 1st, 1971, I was shot point blank in the head on a drug raid where I had a police officer back up not more than 5 feet away. And even though I had a bullet in my head, I was able to return fire and hit the suspect, but they let him get away out the back window. And the movie gives a wrong impression that Pacino couldn't get his gun in the door. That was a 9mm. I was the first cop in New York City to carry one. It took them 25 years to catch up. I had a 38 special. I practically had it in the dealer's stomach because I hit the door with the chain, and I put my arm in there, and he was pushing from the back, and I turned to say, "What the hell are you waiting for? Give me a hand." And when I turned back, he fired point blank, hit me in the head. And fortunately, his gun jammed. He had an automatic. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you today. And then they had the movie came out, and I was retired first on a disability pension, which gave me freedom to travel the world, which I did. And one of the first things I did on my agent's suggestion was to go first class to Europe. Now, I never did anything first class in my life. Both my grandfathers were coal miners, and we were poor, and that's why I'm sick of the airwaves today. They're talking about the starving kids. I'd like to know what they're doing with the money they're giving them instead of the crap that they're eating, and not eating whole food. They're eating junk food, but that's another issue. So traveling first class, people didn't believe that a guy dressed like me could be first class. And they kept telling me to go back to your class. And I said, what class is that? And they said, tourist, steerage. And I said, listen, you may think I'm wrong in steerage, but you don't have any class at all. And then the captain found out that, oh, I was Serpico, and he invited me to his table, but I graciously declined. I already saw what the upper class was all about, you know?
Absolutely, spending all that.
Patches walking around. When I was a kid, I had patches on my pants. The only patches you see on pants today is when people pay extra money to pretend that they're poor. And the difference between what happened in the Depression and what's happening now is back then, before the Depression, poor people weren't wearing designer jeans and sneakers. So when they get hit now, they're not going to know what hit them because they don't know what poor is.
Frank.
I lived abroad for 10 years. I was actually living in Switzerland for a year and a half where I might have still been there, as the movie says. But I was graciously run out by no other than our FBI, where I started getting my first impressions about what the FBI does. They wanted me to come back to New York. I was actually pursued through the snow with my dog and my clothes under my hand, and I fled to Germany, where I bought a camper trailer, a small Volkswagen bus, and I traveled throughout Europe. And I found a spot in Holland, and from there, my base, I traveled all over the world. And before that, I'd been to Asia, the East, and Russia. And when I got back to the States, I figured I saw more of the world than I did of the United States. So I bought myself another little camper, and I traveled all through the United States. And I saw how the real people live, the workers and the farmers, the people that put food on our table, and the rich people that abuse them and wouldn't know how the hell to cook them, how to grow a potato, and yet they want to look down on the working class.
Frank Serpico is our guest, and his handset broke, so he's joining us via speakerphone for listeners out there. Frank Serpico, of course, the legendary New York City detective who wouldn't go on the take, and thanks to his work, much of that corruption did end up coming out. You know, sir, when I was going over your blog, your website, frankserpico.com, I saw a lot of your comments about Fast and Furious, the ATF caught shipping guns into Mexico. I saw your comments about, yes, bin Laden is dead, or is he? I mean, one of my producers talking to you said you were bringing up globalism. What is your view on the big banking cartels like Wells Fargo and Wachovia last year that got caught in 2 years laundering $376 billion of narcotics money and actually owning and leasing and running the drug aircraft themselves, and the fact that they didn't get any trouble? What's your view on the drug war? Because from my research, it's like alcohol prohibition. It's
exactly.
All been...
Again, I'd like to back up a little because everybody knows Mayor Giuliani, right?
Yes.
And 9/11, the biggest crime scene in the world, in world history, Giuliani had it cleaned up and shipped wherever he sent the metal to. He was knighted by England, and he appoints his driver, Bernie Carrick. You know, they formed their own law firm, which is, I think, called the Giuliani Associates, Giuliani Partners.
Yes.
Right? And he had quite a few assorted characters on there. One of them, Bernie Carrick, who later got indicted. Another guy, DeMuro, former assistant director in charge of the FBI New York's office, and the inspector in charge following 9/11. How's my reception?
It's great, Mr. Serpico. Bottom line, are you saying the 9/11 official story stinks?
It certainly does. But if I can go on, one of his team from Giuliani Partners, who was the inspector in charge following 9/11 admitted taking six artifacts from Ground Zero as memoirs, and no action was ever taken by the FBI. And then he had another character, Mr. Alan Plaka, accused of molesting, Monsignor Alan Plaka, accused of molesting numerous children and covering up molestation in the church, another one of his partners. And then the firm said that Giuliani believes that Alan Plaka was unjustly accused, and the firm has no plans to dismiss him. And then another one of his clients, an admitted drug smuggler and millionaire founder of companies that perform electronic information, and it just goes on and on. And then Mr. Giuliani with his firm goes to Mexico. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir. And I understand as a detective, you're giving us some background on some of those unsorted players that are involved. But bottom line, why are you saying 9/11, the attacks themselves, you're saying that stinks, you have questions about?
Well, I said, first of all, we all know that they could have prevented it if they would have listened. I'm in touch with a lot of, I don't like the term whistleblowers, I like to call them lamplighters, you know, federal agents. We have the equipment to prevent anything. We could be the safest country in the world. The problem is we have incompetence at the top. And as you say, who knows what deals they're making with the World Bank. And I don't want to get into that because I don't want to implicate other people. But
well, let me ask you this. What do you think about, Frank, what do you think about Building 7 falling in?
That's a good point. Because Mr. Giuliani opened up his command center there, and he stored lots of fuel there. His director of emergency management, I think his name was Jerome Hauer, H-A-U-E-R, I think. He advised Giuliani not to store it there because it was vulnerable due to the previous attack on the World Center. Giuliani overruled him. And then he puts out erroneous information saying that he followed his director's advice. And another thing, it's not only what happened, but in the aftermath or how it happened. I don't know if your audience knows that before 9/11, it was found that the radio transmitters were old and inoperable. They were deficient. So what happened, they made a deal. It was what they call, they made a deal with Motorola in a no-bid contract, right?
Sure, the radios didn't work right.
Right, $33 million. And they were implemented early 2001, and they were recalled in March 2001 because a probationary firefighter called for help at a house fire, and he couldn't be picked up by others at the scene. So the problem is there were 343 firefighters that when their chief told them to evacuate the building, they couldn't be heard. And Giuliani said, no, that was just, they didn't want to leave. They wanted to do their job and save people. So what I'm saying is, I guess what was said well by Peter Stuyvesant, well, the character that played Peter Stuyvesant in Knickerbocker Holiday, was Peter Stuyvesant was the first governor of New York. He said, governments, one and all, partake of the nature of racket. They become partners in crime and ultimately annihilate the civilization over which they preside. And I couldn't agree more fully than that.
Frank Serpico, legendary New York detective who exposed the fact that the city itself, the establishment, was basically skimming off the top of the drug trade. Frank, We've seen CIA hearings in Congress in the late 90s admitting government drug dealing, crack cocaine. We've seen the Pulitzer Prize-winning work of Gary Webb, who then was shot twice in the head and they ruled it suicide. We've seen the CIA aircraft full of cocaine crashing in Mexico. Now we have Wells Fargo, and this is in Bloomberg AP, you name it for new listeners, laundering hundreds of billions of dollars of drug money, being caught and not getting in trouble, paying, what, $100-something million fine on hundreds of billions in profit. From your deep research and living it for decades, how does the drug trade really operate? I mean, now over in Afghanistan, they have Fox News and ABC News going, oh, yes, the Marines and Army help grow the opium, and then we don't worry about where it goes after that, but if we catch your kid with it, we're going to put him in jail. I mean, isn't the drug war about having it illegal to keep the price up?
I was in a documentary that aired in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and it's called The Drug War's Damage Done. And I was proud to be on with a bunch of professional former military and drug enforcement officers that say it's a lost cause. Drugs should be legalized. They should be controlled. And, you know, not believing that because they legalize it, everybody's going to go out and use drugs. It's like alcohol. You have alcoholics that you can't talk logically to them because they are addicted to alcohol. It's the same with some that get addicted to narcotics. These are health issues. They're not criminal issues. That's the way they should be handled. They have AA for alcoholics, does wonderful work. They have NA, Narcotics Anonymous. These are social issues. But the problem is there's too much money being made with the prison industry that they have more people in jail than any other nation in the world. And I don't know what American people are waiting for. I guess that's why they want to take their guns away so that then they can have total control.
Well, that was my next question. I know you've, according to your blog, had some concerns about Fast and Furious. Obviously, it's now been confirmed by the El Paso Times, Chicago Tribune, in the federal documents that have come out, that the Sinaloa drug cartel for at least 5 years has been working for the CIA, FBI, DEA, and ATF to knock out the other cartels that are not laundering their money through the proper banks, and that the whole thing in Mexico is about big banks using the U.S. government and certain cartels to knock out their competition and consolidate that $500 billion a year industry. And on the other issue, then blame the Second Amendment for crime in Mexico. And now, even though the Attorney General has been caught perjuring himself to Congress, he's been caught lying about ordering it. He did indeed order it. Nobody's getting in trouble, and they're going ahead with trying to push more gun control in the name of stopping guns the U.S. government allowed to be shipped in. Serpico, what would you call that?
I would call that government suppression or government control or police. You know, the thing is, you have guys that serve, they know how to use the guns, and then they come back and they take them away from them. They're the very guys that should be able to keep their weapons to defend themselves and to defend the democracy that they fought for. But unfortunately, they say you can't fight City Hall. You know, nothing changes. The French say, plus que ça change, plus que reste le même. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And then they want to say that, oh, things are improving. Well, things are not improving because in my day, when the dealers were paying off, I would catch a guy, and he would say, how come you're not locking up that guy? I said, which guy? And he says, you're locking me up because I'm not paying off. And I said, no. I said, I'll lock up anybody. If you're violating the law, I'll lock you up. So he said, would you lock up so-and-so? He referred to him as Whitey. I said, try me. And he gave me the information. I locked him up. And then I come in and I find out the guy, killed a police officer, and I come in and the other cops and the police and they're having coffee with the guy. So, you know, they tell you there's this allegiance and stuff. Let me just point it in one way. In my case, they were talking about taking me out. And one guy said, we're talking about another cop. And the response they got was, we're talking about our money. And the problem is the greed that these corporations have, and then they control the masses by telling them that they have to live in a certain lifestyle, otherwise they have no significance. And it's very unfortunate that we don't have the right teachers that teach children their own value as a human being, and they have just as much as anybody else, with no matter how many titles he has or alphabet soup after their name. I have more respect for the man that empties my septic tank and the farmer that puts food on my table than these politicians. I have this saying that politics comes from the Greek root poly, meaning many, and tick, which is a blood-sucking parasite.
Many ticks, yes. Frank Serbico, legendary New York detective who stood up and exposed corruption and was grievously wounded in the process. Bottom line, though, here, the big banks launder the money, the Marines and Army grow the opium in every major city. They either have a police chief that turns a blind eye or lives in a $1 million house. I've grown up, I've been, you know, in college to friends' houses whose dad's an FBI agent, and it's a $3 million house. I grew up in Rockwall, Texas, and the police dealt drugs, and it was well known. And then they'd come give DARE programs to the kids, actually teaching them how to use it. I mean, Hollywood glamorizes it. I mean, it's a whole sales job, and they keep the drugs illegal to keep the prices up and to pack our prisons full of people to work for slave wages, displacing everybody else's wages. Do you agree, Frank Serbico, with that statement?
I find it hard to disagree. I hear what you're saying, and I believe that public service should be exactly that, public service. And you don't join the police or the FBI or the CIA to get rich. It's supposed to be a public service. And it's the same for the politicians. They look like two cats fighting each other, and instead of talking the good of the country, they're talking about the good of their party, and it gets us nowhere.
What percentage of the New York detectives when you worked there, I've seen numbers as high as 75%, what percentage were on the take?
Well, I can't speak for the whole department, but in my unit, it was pretty much they were all on the take. Now, here's the problem, Alex. The system is made to fail, okay? When I was a cop, they had the expression about corruption, the grass eaters and the meat eaters, right? So the grass eaters were referred to the guys that only took so-called clean money. See, that was traffic money or gambling money or vice money. And then, and this is how I got into that agency, because they told me it was the only way I could advance, and everybody knew that agency was corrupt. And they said to me, there's a new department directive. Unless you do 4 years in plain clothes, nobody goes into the detective division. So here's what happens. 4 years, these officers get used to grazing. Okay? It was like, I'm talking about in the 60s, there was, in my unit, you got $800 a month clean, no questions asked, no tax. And plus anything you can make on the side, any score that you can make. Then these guys are renting yachts and custom-made suits, burning their illegal money extra apartments, buying houses, buying land all over the country. And then they assign them to narcotics. Now, after grazing, for 4 years, you think all of a sudden they're going to see the light and all of a sudden drug money...
Frank Serpico, we're back in 1 minute. Do one more segment with us, okay? Frank Serpico, legendary New York detective. Yeah, that's how it works, folks. And now you look at most police out there, a lot of them, they look like gangsters.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Talking to Frank Serpico during that short little break of the legendary New York detective, website frankserpico.com. I said, so, your handset's broken. You're on a speakerphone. And he said, yeah, well, there's really not much need to, you know, have a handheld because I don't really do any interviews. And I said, well, how long has it been since you've done an interview? And he said, years. So this is quite the interview. I hear that it's been years since he's done a radio interview, Frank Serpico. Frank.
Alex, let me say, the last one I did was a call-in show.
Yes.
And this guy called in. He said, yeah, hi, I'm living in Florida. I'm a retired New York City police officer. I said, hey, how you doing? He says, you know, Frank, the day you testified before the Knapp Commission was the darkest day of the history of the New York City Police Department. I said, really? He said, yeah. I was ashamed to go home and face my wife and kids. I said, really? I said, why? What did you do wrong? He said, nothing. I said, well, why didn't you support me? And he said, what? And be an outcast like you? And that's what it's all about. That's why they don't want whistleblowers, because they don't want you to ruin a good business.
And once the corruption builds, then no one will go after anybody, even for worse and worse crimes, and then the whole society collapses. And Frank Serpico, I believe we're nearing that third world collapse point. What do you say?
I'm inclined to agree. But again, Alex, I want to say, because I know a lot of decent police officers out there that are trying to do their job, but meeting resistance. And let me just tell you, on a local incident, there was my friend was being accosted, and it was very serious circumstances. And I called the police, and they did a lousy follow-up. And then there was a series of rapes, and I called the hotline that they said, if you know anything, call this number. And I thought, oh, maybe if they follow up on this lead, maybe they'll find. They never call me back on a hotline.
Sir, all the police do around here half the time is they're told. I've talked to them. They go write tickets and raise revenue. And more, you saw in Oakland last year, he said, 35 crimes we won't respond to, including breaking and entering, robbery. I mean, they're there now more and more to literally just write tickets.
But that's what they're being told to do.
Well, they should rebel.
That's a good thing, but here's what happened. You know, and it's an old saying, too. You know, in the department, it's not black or white, it's blue. That's what happened after Katrina. You remember the catastrophe there with them shooting unarmed civilians.
And the cops running around robbing Walmart.
Yeah. And then same thing happened at 9/11. Some of the firemen were filling their fire trucks with clothes.
And Rolexes.
Like you say, the society has to be revamped. We have no more, you know, morality has been going downhill.
Well, here's the problem, Frank.
We think that our government should be our leaders, but they're not. They're part of the problem.
Well, Frank, I mean, you're absolutely right, but the big issue here is the government is running out of rackets, and they want more, more, more. So now they're taking people's kids if they spank them, or the parents have dirty plates in the sink, and then the state's five times more likely to abuse the child than the parents. Frank Serpico, I've got a few final questions for you. I didn't know you hadn't done interviews in years. Great job to the producers. getting you here on the show, and we appreciate you coming on. I've got a few other questions from your blog I want to cover and see if there's any other points you'd like to impart to our large audience, frankserpico.com. Hope we don't crash your website here today. I'm Alex Jones with Infowars.com. We'll spend a few more minutes with Frank Serpico straight ahead. Bob Chapman's coming up. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Look, we got a private Federal Reserve running the country, stealing tens of trillions of dollars in bailout money. Got major banks caught laundering hundreds of billions of dollars of drug money, like Wells Fargo and others. They don't even get in trouble. And it's in the news. They've taken all the military's death benefits from World War II vets right through. They made a secret deal with the government. That's mainstream news. I mean, the lawlessness has gotten right out in the open. And Frank Serpico, the legendary New York City police detective, who stood up and exposed the corruption, probably one of the most famous whistleblowers worldwide, award-winning films with Al Pacino made about it, best-selling books. I wanted to, in closing, and Bob Chapman's waiting in the wings on the financial news, ask him what he's up to these days. I know you're still very involved lecturing. You said you haven't done radio in a very long time or done interviews, but you are lecturing, and you're also working out there to try to educate people about police corruption.
Yeah, well, my bottom line is we're chasing phantoms around the world while ignoring the monsters in our own backyard. And I think we have to get back to the family. You know, mothers have to realize what a great honor and responsibility it is to be a mother and teach our children how to live healthily. We should stay away from all the junk food that these corporations are selling us. And, support the local economy. That's what America was built on, local economy. Not these outsourcing conglomerates. You know, they're closing down the little farms. The food was good. The meat was good. The eggs were good. They came out with all these government regulations. We got too much government control. You know, just a simple example, you have to wash the eggs. I have my chickens and eggs, and the eggs stay fresher when they're not washed because the chicken coats it with an antibacterial. You wash it off, and that's where you get the salmonella from, because it's all these corporations and the way they're treating the meat.
And the system knows that. Now, Frank, what's your take on Bin Laden supposedly being killed after all these years, and then they keep changing the official story and claim that they threw his body into the ocean?
Well, I think that's a good question we could ask the commander-in-chief, you know, and see what he has to say. I think the only problem is, Alex, they've been lying to us for so long, they have zero credibility.
Well, that's right. If you have a neighbor who you've caught lying to you five times, you stop associating with them. But government lies even when the truth would serve them better. I mean, bottom line, as a you know, detective, as a researcher, as a lecturer, when you look at things like 9/11, when you look at the lies about WMDs, when you see the ridiculous Bin Laden story, and we had the intel he was dead 2002, that he would be rolled out later. I mean, bottom line, what is Frank Serpico's view on the New World Order?
I think that you have to, as they say, believe half of everything you hear and see. The intelligent part is which half to believe, you know. But most importantly is to believe in yourself as an individual and clear your mind of all the pollution that they're feeding us 24/7, and you'll find that you knew it from the day you were born what the truth is.
Absolutely. Our instincts, our common sense is there, and the modern brainwashing system is there to create confusion. I was just reading your blog specifically, though. You're saying something smells with the whole Bin Laden caper?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember what I wrote on the blog back when, but yeah, of course it does. You know, the way they went in there, and you know, where is this guy? You know, you got the body. Why can't we see the body? They disfigured it or something? Somebody's going to be embarrassed. Show us the body. Show us the corpus delicti. You know.
But I mean, your detective nose smells something.
Of course.
What about passports, not one but two, magically surviving out of the planes at Ground Zero and then being found later that day by the FBI? Maybe they found a Lucky Charms elf as well.
You know, in the business, that's called a flake. You know, they drop it there, you know, like in New Orleans, the cops talked about a ham sandwich, you know. Dropping a gun on the suspect that wasn't there. I could tell you story after story about how people have been flaked, even with the narcotics. You know, they go after the user and they put on a felony quantity and charge them as being a dealer. And you ask them what they're doing, and they say, they're only scum anyway. You're just cleaning them off the street. There's this mentality that's become distorted that is inhuman.
Well, now they've run out of drug dealers to lock up. They're the drug dealers themselves while calling a drug user scum. And then you see record numbers of police on drugs. Our troops are getting on drugs. And it's just so dangerous to have the police with all this power really being in more and more major cities a mafia. I mean, sir, as you probably know, it came out just 2 years ago in Dallas, or now three, that they just randomly pull over a nice car, throw a bag of chalk in the back. The drug lab certifies it as cocaine. They're even taking old women's cars now with no criminal record. I mean, that is hardcore evil. But you were saying back when you were in there, they were shaking down drivers.
Well, let me tell you, your listeners saw the movie The French Connection.
Yes.
Well, all the drugs that were seized in the French Connection went back out on the street, compliments of the NYPD. All the drugs were taken out of the property clerk's office and replaced with flour. And a clerk noticed that they were moths, you know, and moths don't eat cocaine or heroin, you know, and that's how they found all the drugs were missing.
Incredible. Frank Serpico, I know that you, as you said, I haven't done a radio interview in a very long time, and this has been incredible. I'd like to get you in the next month or so back for a full hour to really just recount some of the incredible historic things that you have witnessed in your lifetime. And obviously there's best-selling books written about you, movies with Al Pacino. I want to bring Bob Chapman in because he's had a very interesting past as well, formerly in intelligence operations against the Soviets and then the largest silver and gold broker for a while until he retired. And then now he has one of the biggest newsletters out there on finances. And I want to treat Bob since he's been holding because we held you over. Hey, Bob, I know it is a treat because, I mean, nobody hardly gets to talk to Frank Serpico. Bob Chapman, you got anything to say to Mr. Serpico?
Well, first I want to congratulate you, as you have been many, many times, for what you've done for the people of New York and this country. If more people would speak up like yourself, we wouldn't have the problems we've got. And corruption in law enforcement goes back for centuries. You know that, but the public doesn't realize that. There's nothing new that's come down the line in a long time. All you have to do is look at the history of crime, and that's Wall Street as well as Harlem. And you know how to approach it and how to handle it, and you did it, and everybody should be proud of you.
Well, thanks, Bob, and good luck to you. And as he said, you know, the quality of the good far outweighs the quantity of the evil that's out there. So good people just have to stick together and hopefully we can make a better world for our children.
Well, Frank, do you agree with my point that if you just decriminalize, not legalize, but decriminalize and take the money out of drugs, it won't be cool anymore, the kids won't want to use it, and the cops will lose their biggest source of corrupt income, the banks will lose it? I mean, shouldn't we move to decriminalize drugs? But then I get scared and think, what will they come after next, though? Well, they're already trying vitamins, minerals. They're already raiding whole milk places. I mean, they're already sending the drug squads out now against the Amish.
Yep, yep. And they're wonderful people, the Amish people. I visited them often, and I said to one of the elders, I said, you know, I really admire your way of life. Whose idea was it to live this way? And he said, what? He says, your grandfather was living this way. And all of a sudden I realized, because I remember when I visited my grandfather when I was a little kid in Europe, it's just a simple life close to the earth and, you know, respecting the ground that's feeding you. And
Frank, now they're turning, I don't know if you're aware of this, you probably are, they're now using the drug police against the Amish when they sell neighbors cheese.
Oh, yeah, raw milk, and it's terrible.
But, I mean, they're turning the corrupt narcotics police loose on the Amish. I mean, is there no end to this evil?
There's a great book out, Everything I Wanted to Do is Illegal, and he's not talking about drugs. It's written by a farmer. And how the conglomerates and all the government is taking over everything.
Well, Frank, what in closing, what do we do? I mean, if we decriminalize the drugs, that would put that would stop a lot of this.
Yes, but also we have to educate. The other thing is, why are so many people using drugs? You know, it's because, you know, when times get hard, you know, somebody, you know, you had a hard day or something, you need a drink. Let me put it this way. A good buddy of mine, he's a Vietnam vet, decorated, wounded in action. He's highly strong. And he says to me, you know, Frank, if these cops had any sense, they'd knock on my door every morning.
Come, you masters of war.
Obviously, we're going to have to go into overdrive today because I've got Richard Reeves out there. I've got Bob Chapman with the internationalforecaster.com joining us. And we're finishing up with Frank Serpico. Incredible interview with him. And during the break, he was bringing up the TSA. He was bringing up a bunch of issues. I want you to finish with that, sir, in a moment. But go ahead and get back to your veteran buddy, who said, hey, the cops ought to knock on my door every morning. I finished that point you were making.
Are we on?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my buddy, Vietnam vet, one of several, has been wounded and decorated, and likes to smoke a little weed once in a while to calm him down, because when he doesn't, he's all charged up. He said, if the cops were smart, they'd come and knock on my door every morning and say, here, smoke this.
Yeah.
And the guy's a decent, honorable patriot, and he's got to be afraid that, you know, it's just terrible. People think that, some other people told me the other day, they came out of a party in New York, and they opened a can of beer on the stoop, and two plainclothes officers came across and arrested them.
Oh, no, no. They're now arresting women who sit on a park bench too long. I mean, and I've been in New York a lot over the years, and the police are getting crazier and crazier. They now act like complete thugs, smoke cigars while they're arresting people. Their bellies are hanging out. I mean, it looks like worse than third world countries I've been to, Frank. I mean, how far is this going to get? Are they going to put gold thrones out for the police now, and we'll have to lick their boots when we walk by?
I don't know. I just want to say to your listeners, find out about micronutrition, eat your greens and beans, exercise, and stay healthy.
Frank, and what's your final TSA point? You were you raised that for me. You said you don't fly.
Yeah, because I don't want to submit myself to what I call abuse. It's amazing. You know, in the old days, I could fly with my gun to any state in the union, and I'd say to the pilot, you're supposed to turn your gun in, and I'd say, here, he said, What do you want me to do with that? He says, I don't know how to use it. You keep it. You try a police officer now or, you know, respectable people try to get on with a nail file, and they're telling us that we're freer and safer now? But the American people, they're not stupid. They're catching on to the rhetoric and, the different terms they're using. If you object to anything, you're a terrorist or whatever. But I think the time is running out.
Absolutely. People are waking up. They're using the war on terror to basically set up a domestic third world police state or East German Stasi. Is that what you're getting at, Frank?
Yeah, pretty much so. Now that we have, well, look at what happened in England. Now they want to take the phones away from, they want to take away their civil liberties just because maybe one Yahoo or something violated or used it for a bad purpose. It doesn't mean everybody's bad, you know?
Well, San Francisco just turned...
Further.
Absolutely. San Francisco just turned the cell phones off last week because of a peaceful demonstration, cut everybody's cell phones off. Absolutely. Well said. Well, Frank Serpico, I can certainly see why you stood up back in the 70s and you're standing up now. I wish you weren't one in a million, but God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you again here on the radio.
Same to you, Alex. Thank you.
All right, there he goes, Frank Serpico. And I apologize to Bob Chapman. A lot of times we have some incredible guests on and then go into Bob's time, but I know he understands, and we just hold Bob Chapman over. But I know it's not a tough job to get to listen to Frank Serpico. What did you think about that interview, Bob Chapman?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It was like a breath of fresh air because he hasn't been exposed to the public for so many years in this medium. And to be able to reiterate not only some of the things that happened 30 years ago, but apply it to today. And that's what's important for us to understand what direction things are going in and try to perceive what people have to do socially, politically, investment-wise, to keep everything together for themselves. The only thing I missed was, how old is he?
He's 75, isn't he, guys? 75 years old.
You know, that's, I should have asked the question. I should have said, what's your date of birth? Because I'll be 76 in 2 months.
Now you're same age as Frank Serpico, you character. I want to get into gold, obviously, turbocharging up to 1,860 smackers plus today. Silver exploding as well. The open announcement, they're going to kill the dollar. The vice president licking the Chi-Com's boots, the humiliation of America, expanding. Richard Reeves coming in studio to pop in with some Ron Paul intel. Bob Chapman's our guest. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Bob Chapman is our guest. We're going to do a little bit of overdrive next hour. TheInternationalForecaster.com. You can call Midas Resources. Then when you get a gold French or European franc already at an insanely low price... Ted mentioned the price earlier. It's insane. You get a free year subscription to a coveted newsletter that comes out twice a week, digitally, a couple times a month in the hard copy. It's usually over 50 pages long. It's read by State Department, CIA. Bob really knows his stuff. He's not somebody who puts out baloney. You can call Midas, 800-686-2237. Also, Ted bought his gold and silver when silver was at about 39, gold at about 1775. I said, can't we just say 1776? The last big group he was able to obtain. So the deals they've got right now reflect pricing from where it was a few weeks ago. That will sell out. And so when it's, you know, 1900, he'll have stuff he bought at 1850. He's making those purchases right now. He's got it on hand, ready to ship to you, a whole list of radio specials. silver dollars at cost, you name it. How are they at cost? Because he bought it when it was lower. That's how Ted makes his profit. It's okay to make a profit. He's financing liberty and freedom. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Now, I'm going to go ahead and do this interview in overdrive at streaming on prisonplanet.tv and on the audio streams at Infowars.com. We're on the big birds. Some stations carry the fourth hour. For years, I did a fourth hour getting ready for the TV show that launches September 1st. The last 6 months, I've cut the fourth hour, but a lot of days go into it. We're going to go into overdrive next hour, and we've got the gentleman who's in the Washington Post and hundreds of newspapers right now. I knew about this a month ago. I chose to not interview him, not because I think he's lying, but because I just was waiting to see what came out with it. Because we either totally break something with absolute proof, or we analyze other people's news. Okay? I mean, if I get up here and say DynCorp is running child kidnapping rings, I've got the Chicago Tribune, Houston Chronicle. And truth is stranger than fiction. I mean, it's in major Israeli papers that the government was reportedly putting sterilants in shampoos. Well, I've got a whole stack of news where our government does that. I mean, it won't be the first politician running around crazy chasing women. The personality of an egotist sellout who doesn't have self-control. If you'll sell people out, if you'll say girls have got to take a forced inoculation that they know is killing people, and then lie and say, I'm the governor, you have to take it, knowing that was a lie, then he could do anything. But we're going to get into next hour. Have you ever had sex with Rick Perry? Are you a stripper, an escort, or just a young hottie impressed by an arrogant, entitled governor of Texas? Contact Cash, and we will help you publicize your direct dealings with a Christian buzzword-spouting, family values hypocrite and fraud. Committee Against Sexual Hypocrisy, Robert Morrow, Cash president. And I checked in tomorrow a month ago. I know a lot of big libertarian people that know him. He has been in the Ron Paul campaign going back to 2007 as a supporter. And I don't know what to say. I've always heard this too. But that isn't proof. You can say you've always heard that Alex Jones is from the planet Pop-Tart. So I don't know if it's true, but I was just talking to him during the break. And he told me stuff, and I said, buddy, if this is true, you better get these witnesses to come out right now, or you're deader than a doornail. Now, I want to be clear. I don't have any firsthand stuff, and we're going to get this all out in the open. In fact, I wasn't going to do this interview, but because I know that Perry's snooping around and telling national hosts he's scared of me right now, that I just like I told the D.C. madam, you better get all of what you know out here on my show right now, they're going to kill you. And, of course, you know they killed her. I talked to her condo manager. She was being followed. She was being threatened. She tried to get the documents to her mother. They killed her. I mean, this is not a game. This is not a game. This is super dangerous. Okay? And so we're just going to try to get the full injection of poison out next hour. And I warned Morrow. I said, listen, if what you're saying is true, you're deader than a doornail. This is mafia we're talking about. They're listening right now. Okay, I'm going to Bob Chapman. I mean, you knew Ronald Reagan. You knew a lot of people, big high roller out in Malibu. I've actually talked to Martin Sheen and people. They do know you. I mean, you know all the wild stories you tell. You've been all over the world. Biggest silver and gold broker for a decade. Biggest newsletter. You know, you helped publish Gary Allen's book, the Gary Allen newsletter report. I mean, you're who you say you are. What do you think of the reports we're getting here right now about Rick Perry?
Absolutely true. Because I've heard, you know, I've had people tell me I have no proof of what you're talking about. And I was on other programs where they brought it up, and they say that they had talked to people who said that that was so.
So you're saying you've talked to a lot of high-level sources, and they've gotten the same intel on Perry?
I talked to one, but I know of others who have talked to one or two, one of whom was within the staff structure of the gentleman, and he said, yeah, he's one of us.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what Clinton did to people. He would send a special unit of state police to kill you or beat you to death. That even came out in court. The guy that was videotaping him visiting Jennifer Flowers, you know, across the apartment, I mean, they broke his trachea, broke his arms, his legs. I mean, this is super dangerous stuff. I'd rather go after Perry for the forced inoculations, nap to superhighways, being Al Gore's former minion. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I'm not afraid of being killed, but I don't want to be killed just because I was exposing their minion, their puppet, their piece of trash, Rick Perry. I want to live to fight another day. And to know from a major Fox host that Rick Perry told him last year, I am scared to death of Ron Paul and Alex Jones. Why do you think Rick Perry is so scared of Ron Paul and Alex Jones?
He's afraid of the truth. And the truth will destroy him. And he's been, his mission, the way I see it, is to neutralize Ron Paul and essentially take him out of contention. That's what this is all about. I don't think that they really want him for president because he's going to serve another need, and of course he'll get paid off handsomely from that. Who they want for president, I don't know. Maybe they don't know at this point. They might have a number of people lined up, and it may not be the people that we're talking about, Perry or Bachman, or, you know, for the Republican Party, or Romney. We just don't know.
Absolutely. I want to get into the economy and then get back into the election and Ron Paul with you. The gentleman, Robert Morrow, is joining us. He's a libertarian. He is an admitted frequenter of the topless bars. I actually have a lot of friends and long-term acquaintances that are in politics and government and other areas here in Austin, and they've known him for years. They seem to think he's not some Karl Rove infiltrator to put a false story out about Perry to then be blamed on Paul, but it can be used that way regardless. And only because this is a big national news story am I even covering this. So we've got Mr. Morrow joining us at 8 after. Before we segue back into the economy and then back into Ron Paul, Richard Reeves, talk show host, good friend of mine, worked with us off and on for the last six, seven years, known you for a decade or more. What's your smell test on this whole Rick Perry thing?
Well, that's a good question, Alex. I've been weighing that myself. Right now, a lot of the mainstream press is definitely loving on Rick Perry and pushing him. For example, just last Friday, I was pulling up the Google Android phone and hit the news button on the Google search engine, and the top headline contained the words, Governor Perry, Texas Miracle. And that's the kind of headline love that Barack Obama was getting back in the 2008 election campaign. So it's not clear exactly what they're going to do with
Perry. Yeah, they're calling him Ronald Reagan, too, and the slick black hair.
Exactly. They're loving on him big time.
Doesn't Liberace want to run his fingers through it?
Exactly. And that's like with the bifurcated media, the way they've set it up now, where you've got the MSNBC, the left side, and
Whoever the left attacks becomes the front runner.
Exactly.
Just like whoever the right attacks becomes the front runner.
Exactly. So they're utilizing all that bifurcated media now to a T. So the New World Order are definitely political masters, and here we are. We're the political neophytes. We're like a local junior college team at a political level right now, but we keep moving up. We keep moving up our game, and I think this upcoming year, hopefully, we can be up there. And
we're going to talk about some strategies to get Ron Paul in, because you've worked down at the delegate level, and that is one of the key areas. Bob Chapman. Getting back into the economy, I mean, it's old news for our audience. Everything we've said is now happening because we know it's a pre-planned globalist program. You said they would start imploding the euro, but out of that announced their Bank of the World. They're now doing that, admitting it's an economic dictatorship. Even mainstream news is saying that. What's coming next for gold and silver? What's coming next with the globalist?
Well, you heard the song, Up, Up, and Away. And that's just the way it's going to be. And, you know, one of the psychological aspects of this, and these people are very good at this, but if you know what they're doing, you can spot it right away. And J.P. Morgan Chase came out a couple of days ago and said, gold's going to $2,500 by the end of the year. And here they are with the largest short position, naked short position in silver. And silver usually runs with gold. And so you kind of figure, what are they up to? Well, what they're up to is this. They're trying to set up a barrier. The barrier is $2,500. Because they think, on the short term, before the end of the year, It could go higher than
By
that.
By the way, you did it again. You said that last Friday, and then yesterday I was watching MSNBC at 3 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. And there they were admitting, saying, well, J.P. Morgan had to admit this because they're trying to set a psychological new ceiling. I mean, Bob, you just are awesome.
Well, thank you very much. It's just common sense and understanding the criminal mind. And if you want to find out what they're doing, you have to think like a criminal. And obviously, I have that talent. I should have been a policeman like Frank Serpico. But anyway, I probably would have ended up with like him, you know, out of the business because I couldn't tolerate the bad things that were going on within the police structure.
Well, once you let any corruption
in. That's what they're trying to do here. And they're not frightened about gold. They know it's going to $8,000. They're just as smart as we are. But they want it to go there as slowly and incrementally as possible.
And as you said 3 years ago, when people were talking about $2,500 gold for inflation in 1980, you said, no, it'll take about 3 years. When people were saying it would take a year. And now here we are 3 years later, and they say $2,500 by Christmas. And you were saying, what, last week that they could be as high as $3,000 by next Christmas?
No, by the end of February. That's usually the end of the, quote, season for gold.
So you're saying,
and, you know,
you're saying 6 months
ago,
from now.
On, say that again, please.
You're saying 6 months from now it could be $3,000.
Yeah, $3,200. And incidentally, being on 2 weeks ago with Paul Craig Roberts was a thrill. He's one of my heroes. And anytime I can get on with them, let me know.
Well, I mean, you're on with Serpico.
Yes, thank you.
Well, you know what's funny? I do quite a few radio interviews during 3 and 4 minute breaks sometimes. And one day I had Jesse Ventura on with me as a guest. And then I went on the station for my 4 minute interview during the long break at 20 after. And I don't think they believed I really had Jesse Ventura. And they hung up on me. It was funny.
Oh, goodness.
But side issue. Bob, in my gut, though, I feel like this Rick Perry sex stuff is really dangerous.
Well, you know, facts are facts. And if we talk about it in that possibility and we can get proof, then the major media is going to have to handle it. And the man that's been sent in to neutralize Ron Paul will be out of business, and that's good.
Boy, you play hardball there, Chapman.
Well, you know, when you're 76, you don't give a whatchamacallit.
Oh, boy. Wait till Larry
Ask
Flint.
Frank Serpico. He'll tell you.
Wait till Larry
Flint. When in doubt, blow him out.
Wait till Larry Flint gets a hold of this Rick Perry stuff. You were going to say something?
Well, hopefully the press gets a hold of the story here, what happened in the Texas legislative session when Rick Perry and Dewhurst crushed the anti-TSA groping bill. That's something we can't let the news forget about either.
Yeah, Richard, tell folks about that.
Well, you talked about it a lot. You made the major push here at the Texas legislative session with the David Simpson bill. That was the TSA anti-groping bill. And I tell you what, if Rick Perry has a second printing of his book, it shouldn't be fed up. It should be laid down. Because that's exactly what Rick Perry and his cronies did in our state legislature. They laid down. Remember, the
that's,
TSA
that's
came
That's reportedly
out.
All Perry cares about is laying down.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at that fact either, but we'll let Robert Morrow handle that end of it. But another thing that needs to be brought out is if you want tolls on existing roads, Rick Perry signed legislation, I think, back in the early 2001, 2002, 3, somewhere around there, where they're taking existing roads, existing U.S. highways.
Which is illegal.
Well, I tell you what, we sure don't like it, but he signed
legislation. No, Bush had to sign an executive order saying they could violate federal law. But in that executive order, so what, Obama signs an executive order saying all the illegals are legal? Doesn't make it so.
Exactly. Well, that's like the supposedly slavery was legal as well. So there's, you know, another example. But yes, toll roads are good. I mean, what are we going to toll? Every road in the country? Are you going to have to pay a toll just to pull out of your driveway? So let's not forget that about Rick Perry either. So there's a lot of things. We saw the animal RFID start to come to fruition during Rick Perry's term here as governor. We saw premises ID come to fruition.
It was the only state the feds could get a governor to ram through premises ID. And my family's got a farm. They read that document. It basically hands your land over and waives your Fourth Amendment to the feds and their dirty designates.
Exactly. Well, Bob mentioned it a little while ago, talking about Ron Paul, and that's one of the reasons I came in today, was to discuss a little bit about Ron Paul. And
yeah, tell us the secret weapon.
Well, one of the secret weapons is, of course, the website, Ron Paul 2012. It happens to be, by providence, you've invited me here today, because guess what? At midnight, they're starting the Ron Paul birthday money bomb. Tonight at midnight, tonight is Friday, August 19th, midnight, for the next 24 hours, starting at midnight, it's the Ron Paul money bomb, and they're suggesting to give a donation of $20.12, $20.12, or his birthday age is going to be 76 years old, so that's another good number to hit him up with. But the precinct conventions, let me go into the precinct conventions and how important these are going to be. Folks, please stop multitasking just for a little bit right now. Please stop multitasking. Write down precinct conventions. And leading up to precinct conventions, what we need to do is, everybody, in the next few days, get your yard signs out, your bumper stickers out, and then drive by
your precinct. Because folks don't know, it's not the popular vote. Even if Paul wins states, and we've had this happen before, they will send in their operatives to just ignore that at the state level.
What we need to do are create many straw polls in these precinct conventions, and that way at the RNC, we can nominate Ron Paul as the nominee for the Republican Party.
But you know, Richard, that isn't really what matters. The London Guardian came out and said, if we don't pay Al Gore carbon tax money, aliens will attack. I'm not kidding. Yes. Robert Morrow, and say he's a good guy, and he's the person running the full page ad saying, have you ever had sex with Rick Perry? Again, I don't touch stuff like this, and Robert, I don't know, it was a month ago or more, called us with it, and I knew the name. I think I've met him, but I was like, and then now I saw the reports earlier this week, and now it's a big national news story. So one way or the other, he believes it, and he says he's got the sources. So people are going to get the skinny coming up here at 8 after. Now, Bob Chapman's our guest right now for this segment. The next, you're going to continue with us, Reeves, since you know Morrow. You were already in here on other issues. But this precinct issue, you're calling it a mini straw poll. And this is where they send in the political operatives to try to shut things down. To describe how important this is, tell people the chicanery that happened in the 2008 election.
Well, you had a variety of chicanery. You had Louisiana had some chicanery there where a lot of Ron Paul delegates were, they tried to deny them access to their conventions. And also in Nevada and here in Texas, we had Wharton County where those Ron Paul delegates were pushed out pretty much illegally. As a matter of fact, there was a lawsuit filed on that. I don't know the outcome of it is, but the thing of it is if we just go out to our precincts and do the drive-by canvassing first, where you go see the yard signs and the bumper stickers and knock on those people's doors and hook up with them and get them revved up and ready to go out and work the rest of your precinct. Get voter primary, Republican primary voter lists. How about this for ground troop info warriors, Alex? Get those Republican primary voter lists and go hand out Follow the Republic, Obama deception to these people. What we need is an info warrior ground force to hit the ground right now between now and your statewide.
And by the way, you're not going to see the New World Order blow up the first DVD you hand out. It just takes time. Look at how Perry's having to come out and say the Federal Reserve is treacherous and treasonous. Look at how they're trying to mimic us now. That's how desperate they've gotten that they can't beat us. They're trying to join us just so they can betray us.
Well, let me weigh in on Rick Perry's statement because he put a big, fat qualifier
on there. Don't print money before the election.
Yeah, don't print money before the election. You'll be playing politics. Well, I tell you what, that was Rick Perry. He throws people like us a bone saying, oh, wow, he's actually fighting the Federal Reserve. No, he said nothing about deleting the Federal Reserve, getting rid of the Federal Reserve, making changes to our money system at all.
Nothing about auditing. He just said don't print more money before the election.
Hey, don't print more money because what he wants now, and to prove he's 100% political, is it looks like they're throwing Obama under the bus potentially with this economy.
Well, remember the Bush clip? And I want to get Bob Chapman's take on this. When he said, right before he left, he goes, I like Obama. He's not going to go, oh, poor me, poor me. We got to pull that clip up. Oh, I inherited this bad economy. No, Obama's not going to do that. They've had this whole thing scripted.
It's pretty much, with Obama right now, the dog ate my recovery. Right now is how he's going. The dog ate my homework. The dog ate my recovery.
Bob Chapman, what's your take on that?
Oh, I think that's correct, and you'll have all kinds of excuses. But if you go back to the basic premise, square one, and think about why they're doing what they're doing collectively from behind the scenes in both parties, it's to bring the American, European, and British economies down to a level where people are going to have to, if they want to eat and survive, accept world government. And really, this is what they're all pointing towards.
That's right.
Except Ron Paul, of course.
Exactly. These idiots say that they don't want to hurt their economy. They're making money. The globalists issue the money. It's all about consolidating, destroying economies to control them.
Folks, you got to get connected with the Ron Paul people in your precincts. Go to your meetup groups. Get connected. Ron Paul 2012 birthday money bomb starts tonight at midnight.
And you notice they've had to shift from saying he can't win to they're now moving to the Aqua Buddha type stuff. They're gonna move to, you know, he's got black slaves and a flying saucer under his house. We'll be right back. Stay with. Coming up, and it turns out most of the libertarians and patriots I know have known him for years, and he's either right about what he's saying or he's crazy. A lot of folks say that they don't think he's an operative. If he is a Karl Rove guy, he's a deep cover operative. He's going to be joining us. You know, he contacted me a month ago, and I heard the accusations, and the name rung a bell, and I brought it up to people I knew, and they said, no, we know him, and he is a frequenter of these establishments. And
Robert Morrow right now.
Yeah.
I've known Robert 4 or 5 years, 6 years. I'm not sure exactly how long, but this guy's not an operative for Karl Rove. He and I did footwork on foot in his neighborhood, knocking on doors.
I've been told he's a super hard charger.
He is super hard charger. He does a ton of research. And so,
it's just, this is super dangerous.
Exactly. I agree.
And he's telling me that he actually knows the women's names. He's just putting this out now to get others to come forward because the ones he knows won't come forward and they're scared. And they should be scared. They better just go public right now. Listen, this could have stayed in the closet earlier. Okay. And focused on other issues, but now that it's out, it's got to all come out.
Well,
I'm
going to
warn everybody.
And now once Alex Jones is talking about it with the biggest InfoWarrior Action Committee on the planet, absolutely, it needs to come out completely.
Yeah, but Rick Perry's a gangster. I mean, if he'll force shots on girls, he knows is going to kill them. I don't want him to send a hit team over to my house. And I'll say right now, ladies and gentlemen, that if I get killed or something, you know where to look. I mean, these people are dangerous.
Agreed.
Bob Chapman, you had a financial point for Bob on the housing, and then we'll get Bob's take, and then that we'll go to our next guest.
Yeah, Bob, I guess the question is how bad are they going to make this economy? They're either going to make Obama a hero or a goat by election 2012, but this economic implosion that's occurring, this second downturn, is happening so fast that home loan demand plunges. Applications for loans to buy a home dove 9.1% just last week to a 13-month low, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association, and the uncertainty has caused a weak stock market, as you know. So what are you thinking about? Are they going to make Obama a hero or a goat by November 2012?
Well, I will interject that 2 weeks ago, in 1 week, all of the gains for the year were wiped out, and that was very frightening. I don't know what they're going to do with Obama, and maybe they don't either at this point. And I don't think that's important. The important is what you're doing, getting in Ron Paul to get him in as president of the United States. That's what we have to really, really focus on. And what happens with the other side and the other probable challenging candidates on the Republican side. We don't care. We just want to make Ron Paul the strongest possible candidate, the man that's bringing out the truth, and he wants to end his days in politics being instrumental in turning the entire country around. And he, if we can get him elected, he can do that. And he's probably our last hope. And maybe we can get a number of more people, like many of the Tea Party people who were elected, into office to help him, because that's the legal, honorable way to do it.
And by the way, they say patriots can't win and can't take America back. That's like saying George Washington can't win, or Marriott Tubman can't win, or Rosa Parks can't win. We've got to learn that who wins is who stands up and wants it the most, and stop just giving the field over to the criminals. We've got to be bold. Fortune favors the bold. The fortune we want is liberty. Is that what you're saying, Bob Chapman?
Absolutely, and our freedom from these monsters.
The tireless minority will prevail. Look at the tireless minority that is the New World Order. We are a much bigger minority than the New World Order. We can prevail.
All right, you're going to keep riding shotgun with us. I know Bob's busy. I'm going to see if Bob wants to stay with us and have any questions for our next guest.
Fix bayonets. We are now entering overdrive with your host, Alex Jones, broadcasting live from the front lines. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Okay, if you're just joining us, we've gone into the fourth hour of overdrive, broadcasting here on the AM and FM dial, simulcasting on the internet at Infowars.com. And, of course, all of this will be archived at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're also streaming video here. Now, I want to preface this because I know a lot of national media is tuning in and will be tuning in. Mr. Morrow contacted me about a month ago. He can correct me on the time frame, but it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I went and listened to the message in my phone. And the name rung a bell, and then I asked around about him, and Steve Mason, who's been doing Access TV for 16 years that I've known, and believe me, Steve Mason's no operative, great patriot. He knows Morrow and vouches for him. Richard Reeves, I've known for, I guess, more than a decade, but you've worked with us and gone on events and shoots for us for off and on for the last 6-7 years. You vouch that he's the real deal. He's a real libertarian, goes around knocking on doors with you, 4 years ago for Ron Paul. You knew him years before that. And listening to his message, I didn't call him back, because anybody who lives in Austin has heard about Rick Perry and the reports that he is a philanderer. Now, listen, I'm a Christian, but I don't get on a moral high horse, okay? And sex is not an issue I get into with politicians. I go after Rick Perry for the forced inoculations of girls with a dangerous vaccine that they knew was killing people in the trials, trying to hand over 8,000 miles of Texas roads to Centra of Spain, even when the legislature said no. The fact that he worked for Al Gore as his chief of staff in Texas for his campaign. This is all admitted. The fact that Karl Rove is handling him, and they had that fake pledge that he wasn't going to run in 2012. I told you it was fake. Then I got creeped out when a Fox News host off record called me, and a very well-known person, I'll just leave it at that, and said, Rick Perry pulled me aside, this is last year, and said, there's two people I fear. And then they added the addendum of a local politician as well, but Ron Paul and Alex Jones. And I'm like, I don't think of myself as that big. I mean, sure, after Drudge, we're bigger than WorldNet Daily now, bigger than Newsmax. I mean, we're the biggest thing out there. I don't really talk about that because I like to be under the radar, but we're growing exponentially, but the establishment knows. And the things that Robert Morrow talks about is the type of things I've heard. But, people put out the false statement that, I work for the Vatican or Israel, or that I'm a reptoid from Planet Pop-Tart. So I didn't break this story here, even though, it's national news. I didn't break it here, and I just wanted to wait and see what came out of it. And so joining us for the next 20 minutes, we may even go longer, is Robert Morrow. And if you go to the Washington Post, Salon, hundreds of other publications, the headline is, have you ever had sex with Rick Perry? And the ad reads, it's going to be in the Chronicle newspaper, have you ever had sex with Rick Perry? Are you a stripper, an escort, or just a young honey impressed by an arrogant, entitled governor of Texas? Contact Cash, and we will help you publicize your direct dealings with the Christian buzzword-spouting family values hypocrite and fraud, Committee Against Sexual Hypocrisy, Robert Morrow, Cash president, and then it's got his phone number and information. So I want to bring him up now to tell his side of the story, because off-air you told me that you've got people who tell detailed stories, similar stories, people you know, the names of strip bars that you're an aficionado of, and you're proud of, and that they're scared to go public, so that's why you're throwing chum in the water and now making this a national story. So, Robert Morrow, you've got the floor. Tell us your side of things.
Good to be here, Alex. Here's the issue. Rick Perry has been living a rampantly bisexual, adulterous double life. Yet he runs around, you know, campaigning on Christian values and Bible buzzwords and going on stage in Houston with extremist preachers and spouting a lot of very anti-gay rhetoric. A few years ago here in Austin, I came across some young women, strippers, young hotties, escorts, etc., who had had direct dealings with Rick Perry and his entourage. The way it works is that Rick Perry, like Tiger Woods, has an enabling entourage who gets him strippers to play around with, who rents the hotel rooms, who calls the escort services, and happened to run across some of these women. One of these women was a local popular stripper here in Austin, Texas, and she said that one night that she was up on stage and a man came up to her and he said, "Here's $500. That's just for starters. That's just for coming with me." And she said, "Sure, because, you know, $500 is what she would be making in a whole night through, you know, table dances, tips, etc." So she went with a guy. It was a couple of years ago. And so they took her out, and the next thing you know, she was with Rick Perry. And here were, and so when she got with Rick Perry, she started, you know, playing around with him, you know, trying to, I'll be not too graphic here, trying to give him a Monica Lewinsky, a.k.a. oral sex. And then here's where her direct words to me about a few years ago. She said, "I think he was too coked up to get it up, to perform sexually." And then when it came time for her to leave, Rick Perry gave her an outrageous amount of money, well into the four digits. I think he was trying to keep her quiet, but instead he made a story out of it by giving her that much money. And Rick Perry is not a very rich man. He's only worth a million or two or so. And so it makes me think that Rick Perry probably, I'm assuming here, is taking either bribes or illegal gifts to fund his extracurricular activities.
Well, again, I'm going to be honest with you. Was it about a month ago you called me? How long ago was that you called me?
It's about a month ago.
And you got my cell phone number, so I thought, wait, how does this guy have my cell phone number? And then I asked around. They go, "Oh, yeah, he's a big libertarian activist, goes around knocking on hundreds of doors." It turns out about everybody I know, for going back decades, knows you. And they say, "No, that guy's real." But at the end of the day, how do you know that strippers aren't lying to you? I mean, they're notorious liars.
Well, you know, who are you going to believe, Alex? A stripper, an escort, or a politician? Okay? It's more than one. So then I came across another young lady who's had direct dealings with Rick Perry's entourage. And what she told me was this member of her entourage told her, he said that when Rick Perry goes on the road, he gets the young hotties. That was the phrase he used. He says that they take the young hotties back to Rick's hotel room. They're literally having orgies and group sex there. You know, it might be, you know, Rick Perry having sex with, you know, one woman, you know, on a sofa or a bed, and his buddy having sex with another young woman on another bed. These women are about the age of Rick Perry's 24-year-old daughter, Sydney. They're in their mid-20s.
Well, let me just stop you. You know, yep. He's come up and talked to me in restaurants and sent messages to people that he's concerned about me. And when he came up and looked at me at that table and said, "I want you to have a," I think he even said, "bless Thanksgiving, Alex," he and Mike Hansen was there. He was a witness to it. Was crazed looking. He looks like Captain Morgan or something. Like when he's doing his little governor thing, he looks nice, you know, friendly. He did look psychotic. And I'm going to be honest, it was kind of scary. Because here's the governor leaning over, looking at me. It was like a vampire, like Fright Night or something. I mean, he was really powerfully evil.
Well, Alex, the reason for that is that Rick Perry is sitting on a keg of slut-fueled nitroglycerin that, if it ever exploded, would make Anthony Weiner look like a mere pimple popping. This second lady who I spoke to, she's very credible. The reason why is...
Yeah, but I don't ever cover sexual issues. Even when I get stuff, I leave it alone. I say, I don't want it. I've got you here because here it is. It's in full-page ad in the local paper. Now I can cover it. I don't even like covering it. But I just want to be on record that this is not my idea. You did contact me a month ago, and I chickened out. Correct, sir?
Yeah, that's correct. Now, let me tell you about the second lady and why she's so credible. Of course, I'm not going to name any names because these women, for whatever reason, have decided not to come forward. The reason I ran this ad is an appeal for people, for strippers, escorts, young hotties, and gay lovers to quit covering for this guy. You know, come forward and find a reporter. I'll find you a good one. If you don't want to go on the record, you can at least be background material. But it's very important to expose to America who Rick Perry is and how he behaves in such a hypocritical...
Well, let me stop you. If this stuff's real,
yep,
and if you're not being fed a line of bull, maybe they went and picked an activist out. This just has Karl Rove written all over it if it is staged as a psyop to get us away from all the real issues. If this is real, you don't have time with these women and these men to have them go talk to a reporter and the newspaper. Then editors will block these stories. They've got to go on YouTube now. They've got to call a press conference. Listen to me, Mauro. I told the D.C. madam this. I told Gary Webb, who was trying to send me info and stuff right before he was killed. And he said, I want to come on your show once the new book comes out. And I said, if you've got all this stuff, don't even tell me over the phone. You've got to go public now. And then they came and shot him twice in the head. You know about how many people Bill Clinton had killed in Arkansas to cover stuff up like this with women? I'm just telling you, if this is real, buddy, I'm telling you, you are a dead man if you don't get this information out and quick. And all these other women and men, they're going to start getting killed. And I'm not talking about by Rick Perry, but by the corporate interest that walk up and say, hey, we're here to help you.
Well, Alex, you know, that's why it's important for people to come public. You get a little measure of safety when you become public because you're a public figure. But back to the second one.
No, you get the only measure of safety. The fact that you're here now and I'm talking about this gives it some protection.
All right, secondly, I'm going to walk you through all these. The reason it's so credible is because so many people have told me this, okay? So the second woman was very credible, the one who had dealings with Rick Perry's entourage. She's educated. She knows her way around the political world here in Austin, Texas, and she was just leveling with me. And so she's not like some, you know, 17-year-old runaway on drugs. She's completely credible. The third person is a young lady who knows one of the top popular escorts in Austin, who is either here or used to be here. And she said that this other escort had a tryst with Rick Perry in one of the nicer hotels here in Austin. So that's three sources. So I want folks to know this. I'm not 99% sure that Rick Perry is a rampant adulterer. I'm 100% sure.
Now, Richard Reeves is here. Richard, you've known this guy, you said, 5-6 years?
Yeah, I've known Robert 5 or 6 years. We've pounded the streets and handed out brochures in his neighborhood and canvassed for Ron Paul in the past. But Robert is a big believer in a statement that you frequently make where you say, duty is ours, consequences are God's, and Robert, I know that you live by this as well.
Absolutely, Richard. And what this ad is, folks, for all the folks out listening there, millions of Americans right here, this is an appeal to quit covering for Rick Perry. You can contact me at familyvalueshypocrite@gmail.com, familyvalueshypocrite@gmail.com. I will find your reporter to get your story out, or at least get it on background. Thirdly, Alex, you know, living here in Austin, we discussed this. You and I and many others have heard many, many rumors about Rick Perry being a homosexual or having gay affairs.
I have asked state police at the Capitol, high level, off record, years ago, and I said, is there any truth to this stuff? And they just said, you don't even want to know. And I said, well, tell me. And they're like, no way.
Yeah. And, well, what it is, Alex, is that is Rick Perry is not just gay. He's bisexual. Okay. So this Monday on the 15th, I believe, I got a phone call from an incensed homosexual. And he told me this. He says, Robert, after seeing Rick Perry on that stage in Houston with all those extremist preachers, you know, the ones who are, you know, extra, double extra, anti-gay with all their rhetoric, I just can't take it anymore. He says that, he said to me, my ex's ex had sex with Rick Perry, a gay fling with Rick, years ago before he became governor. And so me and my friend, we're going to try and talk him to go in public. So
okay, well, why haven't you just gone to the press, and maybe I've missed it, and talked about all this? Why are you running the ad? Just to get other people even more to come forward? I mean, how do you know they're not going to put a fake person forward who later then recants? I mean, here's what I'm saying. Why not go after Rick Perry for forced inoculations with a shot he knew was killing people in the trials?
Sure, absolutely.
Why not the highways handed over to foreign companies? I just got a bad feeling about this whole thing.
Or even Rick Perry's dirty real estate deals. Any national media listening, you need to learn about the Horseshoe Bay real estate deal where they sold him a land.
Listen, I want to stop right there because I haven't had time to vet any of that.
Okay, all right. Okay.
That came out in major mainstream press.
Oh, okay, I remember hearing about it. But, okay, Richard, you go ahead.
Well, I don't recall the exact details. I'm sure Robert knows all the chapter and verse, but that was in mainstream press. The Horseshoe Bay story did
Let me try it.
Now,
I remember seeing it.
It was covered by the Dallas Morning News. They detailed it in the fall of 2010 before the governor's election.
Exactly. I do remember it was
basically they were selling Rick Perry a lot at way under market value. Like the lot's worth $450,000. His friends gave it to him for $300,000.
No, that's like Hillary and the cattle futures. They only gave him winners. The oldest payoff in the book is they wink, wink, buy this for nothing. We'll buy it for three times what it's worth. Or wink, wink,
Alex,
we'll sell you stuff at half price.
7 years later, when the lot was market value based on comparables worth $800,000, another crony paid Rick Perry $1.1 million and $50,000. So what's the common theme here? The common theme here is Rick Perry, crony capitalism, corruption, and compromise in his personal life.
Well, here it is. You brought that up, and it's statesman.com. Bill White blasts Rick Perry on Horseshoe Bay land deal. Texas governor defends transaction is above board.
Yeah, national media needs to re-put that story up again right there. That was especially egregious and flagrant right there. But back to the womanizing and the manizing of Rick Perry.
Now, wait, you say you got three women, but you've got one guy calling you. I mean, from what I've seen in the press over the year, gays are notorious for making stuff up. Are women.
Hold on. This guy called me, Alex, 3 days before my ad went up. He just saw one of my posts on the internet. Okay, and I sent him to a reporter who's investigating this. There's several reporters who are going through this, but it takes time for them to work their leads. It might get
There's no way the editors are going to let this out. They only put editors over major papers who've got more dirt on them than Perry.
I predict a story confirming Rick Perry's homosexuality will be out by Christmas. Because they got to work the leads. They got to work them. It's just too credible. See, I want to tell you something else, Alex, and your listeners. Living here in Austin, and by the way, I'm a three-time delegate to the Texas Republican Convention, 2006, 2008, 2010, so I'm not some sort of liberal Democrat making this up.
Reeves is nodding his head. He's a delegate as well.
Yeah. I voted for Rick Perry, 1998, 2002, 2006. I'll never vote for him again, okay? All right, but having said all that, the gay rumors that you and I have heard, I never believed them for years. They've been around here for about 8 years, since 2004, when there was an allegation that, you know, Rick Perry was having a gay affair with the Texas Secretary of State. I think his name was what Jeff Connor or something?
I remember the news reporting on the gay rumors. I don't remember the names.
Okay, and I never believed that, Alex. And then I never believed it once I found out about the woman. I think I figured, well, Rick's just like me. You know, he likes the cuties and everything. He likes the strippers, etc. Alex, no more. The gay rumors are completely credible. This guy is a rampaging, bisexual adulterer. Not only that, and what does this show? It shows he's arrogant, he's entitled, and he's reckless. And folks, we don't need arrogant and reckless in the White House.
Oh, man. I tell you what, I'm going to start wearing a bulletproof vest with this stuff on my show.
Well, I think it's all going to come up to a head pretty quickly here with all this exposure that it's coming on this show and with Robert Morrow placing these ads. So we're going to find out pretty quick. These people are going to have to come forward because, like you said, and you've been uncannily right over the years, people are going to die over this if they don't come on out and hit the press immediately.
Honestly, you're safer going public than being secret.
Well, that's an understatement.
Yeah, it really is. Because if you stay secret and they know about it, then they can
get... Well, I'm going to be honest. That's why you're even on this show, because I'm in Austin. I know Perry's already scared of me for whatever reason. It's kind of creepy to have somebody this powerful.
You know, you're absolutely no threat to Rick Perry except to maybe annihilate his political career.
Well, I just don't know why a year and 14 months ago he told a Fox host this behind closed doors, came over and cornered him. Well, I guess you're a listener. You know, I talked about that last year.
Sure.
And said he's scared of Ron Paul and Alex Jones. And I'm like, why me? And I guess he knows I'm here local. I'm media he doesn't control. And, you know, the thing is, I don't have some political beef with Perry. I'm not even after him as an individual.
You mean personal beef? You have a political beef, just like I do.
Well, exactly, but it's just all these Republicans that get caught with their pages and in bathrooms and Bohemian Grove and the reports of Obama. I think they only promote people who have this type of background because they can then control them.
I was just thinking about Rick Perry, whether he's more suited for Bilderberg or Bohemian Grove. I kind of feel that when Rick Perry went to Bilderberg, he was probably like an eighth grader in a college calculus class, that they knew they had a dumb bunny on their hands. But I think Rick might be a little more at home running around howling in the woods at Bohemian Grove. That's my personal opinion.
You know, I don't get that Rick Perry's dumb. To me, he's extremely slick and smart.
Well, if you're running around with all the women and young men that he has, and you think and you're too stupid to not think they're going to talk one day, that's pretty dumb.
And you study psychology, if any of this is true, and these people aren't lying to you, I have no doubt you're being told this. If this is true, it's par for the course. These are reckless personalities. These are narcissists. This is what narcissists do. I mean, you don't think that over the years I haven't had women come on to me and stuff? But at the end of the day, and nobody's perfect, but at the end of the day, you've got a family, you've got a wife. You can't just be an animal who has no responsibility.
You know, the Austin media wrote about the way Anita Perry will almost never kiss Rick Perry in public. John Kelso wrote a column. You guys can Google this. It says, somebody needs to goose Anita Perry to get a smile out of her. It was so obvious in the 2010 campaign that she was not for it. She did not want to do it. She rarely...
He run an ad 4 years ago where he said, my wife and I love each other?
Oh, he tweets. This was so outrageous. He tweets how blessed he is. He talks about her and compares her to biblical verses. And yet, he's running around with some of the girls I see. Hello?
Well, these women have told you this reportedly. I just can't stay there. We've got to continue to flesh this out. We'll be right back. We're going to open the phone lines up, 800-259-9231. Stay with us. Well, the Washington Post, the San Francisco Chronicle, they're all covering it, so I thought we would give you a chance, the listeners, to actually talk to Robert Morrow. Here's the San Francisco Chronicle headline. Who is Rick Perry's gay and stripper sex accuser, Robert Morrow? There are hundreds of articles out right now. I would imagine, Robert, that your phone lines have been burning up. What type of media has been contacting you?
Phone lines been burning up. Radio shows, reporters around the world. People like you, people on, you know, a lot of morning shows been calling me up. They like controversial topics.
And you've been telling this story there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been getting the word out. You know, some of the conservative ones have a little harder time believing it. But you got to understand this. Any conservatives listening right here, you know, that, you know, in 1992, Bill Clinton by that time had hundreds of women, okay? and only three came public. That was Jennifer Flowers, Sally Perdue, and Bobby Ann Williams.
Well, that was because they killed some of them. Of course,
because Hillary Clinton was unleashing her terror campaign and hiring private detectives like Jack Palladino and Anthony Pelicano to, you know, break their car windows and put shotgun shells on their car seats. So you have to understand is that it's hard to get folks to come public. Hence this ad. This ad is, if anybody's listening here in Austin, Texas, or around the country that, you know, can expose Rick Perry for who he is, let's do it. Let's get it over with right now. My email address is familyvalueshypocrite@gmail.com.
Well, let me advise you on something.
Okay.
You would want to get a bunch of people together and have a press conference. And if you wait around and try to, now that this train's left the station, and sit there and try to give these women over to newspaper reporters and people, they're not going to report it unless it's Larry Flint. Have you gotten a hold of Larry Flint? Because he's the guy for this.
No, but I need to. I hadn't had time. This is exactly the kind of thing Larry Flint would relish in. You know, there are a lot of gay Republicans at very high levels. One of them resigned in 2007, didn't get much coverage, but it was Trent Lott of Mississippi. And the reason he resigned was because of a breaking scandal over a San Antonio gay escort named Benjamin Nicholas. You can Google that. Google Trent Lott, Benjamin Nicholas. And that's just an example of the kind of folks that, you know.
I thought he had to resign because of an insurance scam.
That wasn't it. It was a gay escort fella.
What's going on with these people? I mean,
this guy was in the Republican leadership. So many of the folks listening right now never knew that, you know. Yet, so the same thing with Rick Perry. And you know, we're getting reports, and I haven't confirmed them, but we're getting, you know, leads to say that, you know, Rick Perry has been playing around with, you know, gay escorts as well as, you know, these.
Okay, but let's stop there. Yeah. because I Well, number one, I'm going to give the number out. It's 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. The issue here for me is this is a big national story right now. It's one of the biggest.
Yep.
And I wanted people to actually hear from you. And then, to be frank, last night I wasn't going to touch it. I wasn't going to touch it all week. And then I started getting contacted by people I know saying, no, I know this guy. He's for real. Now, people may be lying to him. But Robert Morrow is for real. And then I separately had Richard Reeves in here because he was calling me saying, look, I've been a delegate. The big fight to get Ron Paul elected is going to be the delegates, because even if he really wins states, they're going to try to have delegates that are establishment kill it. So you were not here today, Richard, to talk about this.
No, absolutely. This got blindsided by this just at the last minute.
I mean, I just contacted you at like 12:30 to get you on when we went into overdrive here, Robert.
I want to make a comment. Ron Paul came out today and said that, you know, he thought that what I was doing was silly. And here's my reply to that is, Ron Paul, God bless him, doesn't play around with the same women that me and Rick Perry and Rick's entourage do. Okay? So Ron has no idea what's going on. He's too busy fighting the Federal Reserve, the endless wars, the assault on civil liberties. You know, he's not out there playing with the strippers, et cetera, like Rick Perry does.
Now, tell folks about yourself, individually. You're a private investor, right?
I'm a self-employed investor. I'm a graduate of Princeton University in 1987. I got my MBA from the University of Texas in 1990. And I've been involved in politics on and off for many, many years.
And instead of being a wine connoisseur, you're a connoisseur of fast women.
Not really. But, you know, occasionally, you know, if I've made a pretty girl, that's fine with me. Unlike Rick Perry, I just like women, Alex. Okay?
Oh, man. I tell you what. Do you have any comments, Richard Reeves?
Well, one of the comments I have is that, you know, Rick Perry recently had this big rally over in Houston, and that's consider that like a giant caucus. Rick Perry is going to use those people 100%. All those people showed up at that stadium that day. It's all about getting them to go out and stump for Rick Perry door to door, knock on doors, knock to the.
He wants the word of mouth power that Ron Paul has. He believes well meaning, really good Christian people can be fooled by him.
Absolutely.
And there's no doubt he's not the Christian he says he is. I mean, he is a globalist, duplicitous, Al Gore loving, New World Order, Bilderberg, forced inoculation, NAFTA superhighway globalist.
Yep, 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 and he's a Republican, Bill Clinton. Well, Alex, remember a few years ago when Rick Perry was caught spending money at a drag show down in Key West? I think it was called the La-Di-Da Bar or the Fadi-La Bar.
No, I don't remember that. What are you talking about?
I don't have the right name of that. You guys can Google that. He spent $78 there. And the Perry campaign's cover story for that was Anita was the one spending money at a male drag review.
Let me stop you. Yep. Bring Rob Dewin here. He was trying to give me some financial records earlier showing me that. And he said he had a mainstream news article. Again, I don't follow all this. I'm into what he does with his policies.
Here we go. Rick Perry spent $78 at the La-Ti-Da drag queen show in Florida. And then this year, the legislature, get this, moved to make Rick Perry's travel expenses secret. There's no doubt about that, Alex, what's going on.
What source is that?
If you Google this, Google Rick Perry spent $78 at the La-Ti-Da drag queen. See, Key West, Florida is a well-known, very nice gay hangout. And the La-Ti-Da is a drag show there. And old Rick is a patron of that. You know, he thinks he's away from town. He thinks, I'm in South Florida with all my friends in the gay community. Think I'll go to a drag show. Nobody will notice. He put $78 on his expense report. Reporters find that. This year, in the year 2011, the legislature passed a law that allowed Rick Perry to keep his travel records secret.
All right, is that Rob Dew? Bring him in here, please. Because he was trying to show me that earlier. Did you guys just search the term he told you?
Yeah. If you Google Rick Perry spent $78, you'll find it.
I think I recall that blurb back.
Yeah. So he's been, you know, he has like this double life. You know, one minute he's on stage in Houston praying with the preachers. I'm sure he gets to them and praises them about the, you know, he calls it the debasement of America, and he prays for the drought. I'm all praying for the drought. You understand that? I just don't like hypocrisy of a double life of a man who's, you know, from what I know, from what Robert Morrow is saying, playing around with strippers, escorts that his entourage gets for him. Probably comps him on that.
Well, I want to say this. This is the strongest piece of evidence, and Rob Dew may be at lunch or something, but earlier this morning he was trying to show me the expense account through the state or something. Did he use the state expense account on this?
I'm sure he did, because how else would we know about that? I'm sure he wants to put all the thrills and excitement of his bisexual lifestyle on the expense account of the state.
Well, again, we don't know that, Robert. I know people are telling you this, but if it's confirmed, is Dew gone? Because is
all you have to do is Google Rick Perry spent $78. It comes up.
Right. No, I know they found a news article, but Dew had the expense account printouts, and Jaron's printing them right now.
Back to the way that Rick Perry looked at you, he looked at you maniacally, didn't he, Alex?
Yes.
And he said, God bless you, while he's looking at you like he wants to kill you, right?
He said, I want you guys, and I want you, Alex, to have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Yeah, while he sticks a knife in your back. Sounds like Rick Perry.
Hey, Robert, comment on that big rally you had in Houston that Rick Perry basically utilizing all those well-meaning Christians to campaign for him.
Rick Perry is abusing the minds and the hearts of millions of Christians in America, because he's telling them that, you know, he's all for traditional marriage, when his concept of traditional marriage is the exact same as John Edwards and Bill Clinton. He uses a lot of Christian terminology in Bible talk. He has a rally in Houston, which was really to further his own presidential ambitions, yet, as far as I know, the man is a rampant bisexual adulterer. That's the information that I'm getting.
All right, let me throw this out. The guys have found a news article. I believe that news article has the link to the expense account, because I want to just confirm for myself. I know you guys are saying you've seen the reports, but that's unconfirmed to me at this point. But if it's true that he's visiting men in drag, cabaret shows, that is a gigantic piece of evidence right there. I mean,
his campaign says, oh, that was Anita. Just like Rick Perry says that Anita is telling him to run for president. Well, my response to that is, did Anita tell you to play with the strippers, the hookers, the young hotties. Did Anita tell you to run for governor in 2010? She hardly ever showed up at one, of your rallies. When she did, she never smiled. Always had a stony look on her face.
No, I hear you. I'm going to get to some calls, but let's bring Dew in here. Dew just got back. He was on the other side of the studio. This is a report here out of Political Expenditures from the Ethics Commission. And this is out of 1125 Duval Street, Key West, Florida. La Ti Da Club, $78.26. We did find some news articles about this.
You can't get more gay than Key West, Florida. It's a very pretty place. They like to go there.
Let me ask Dew real quick. Dew, this, where did you get this? Is this a state ethics commission?
That was brought in from, if you turn the other page, somebody sent us that post, and that's a link in that post that somebody posted, I think, in 2009.
No, but is this on the state website?
That I don't know. That came included with that email. That was included with it.
No, I understand.
I'll look and see where I have the email up on my
yeah, no, look up the political expenditures. I want to make sure this isn't some Dan Rather set up.
Yeah, Alex, look right on the very top there in the small print. It says Texas Ethics.
No, it says Texas Ethics Commission, but I want to read this on their website. They've got these filings. You can look up the date, 4/13/09. Well, we'll just track all this down. If this is true, and this is unconfirmed, even though I've got some news articles about it and things from years ago, if this is true, this is smoking gun right here.
I've got another one for you, Alex, and this is the way this works. There are a lot of hearsay rumors, and here's one from one of your listeners. One of your avid listeners told me this one. I can't tell you his name. He said that his friend was a former dancer, a male dancer at, I think, maybe a gay bar or a gay male review here in Austin years ago, and that Rick Perry was a frequent customer there. And so I went to this guy and I said, "Hey, man, you know, we gotta expose this guy Perry for who he is." And he said to me, he texted me, he said, "Not interested, no thanks." So then I texted him again. I said, "Look, man, I know strippers, hookers, young hotties that I can't get to talk. You know, somebody needs to step forward." And then he texted me again. This is one of your listeners. He said, "I've already told you once, not interested, thanks." So he's protecting his friend. But the folks need to know this, is that if people like that dancer don't want to go public, that former dancer, I should say, they can still give reporters background information on Rick Perry's double life and let them build a case and build a story, and it'll support somebody else who will come forward.
Well, I think this is a big enough story. We're going to find out the truth now.
Eventually.
I know we can show the expense report. Is it? Have we found it on the State Ethics Commission site?
Oh, he was there.
No. Absolutely. So we have not found it on the Ethics Commission document yet, so we're going to continue to look at that. Thank you. Okay, let's go to Steve in Texas, and then Catherine and others. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller. Just wanted to first start out by saying I know both Richard and Robert personally, and I would attest that they are they're the real deal when it comes to Patriots. My question has to do with Clinton and his. You guys started to touch on it a little bit after I was already way on hold, but I'm curious. You know, Clinton had a lot of philandering and never was able to really gain any traction on any of that. I think you pointed out a lot of them ended up dead and other accidents. But what, Robert? My question for you is: why would you think that? Because I was in the state caucus last year when you brought up the same issue back. Right. I guess that was more than a year ago. What makes you think that we'll be able to get any traction on any of this?
Well, it's time to take it to the next level, and we've got national publicity on this. We've got a lot of local awesome publicity. Again, the whole point of the ad was this, is that there are many people out there, probably, who've had dealings with Rick Perry. Either they had sex with him, or they have friends who had sex with him in an adulterous way. And it's time for these folks to quit, take it out of the rumor land, and go on the record, tell your story. If not that, tell your story to a reporter on background. My email address is familyvalueshypocrite@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Let's talk to Catherine in Texas. Catherine, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I have three comments. I'm from Florida, and Key West is absolutely an alternative place. Everywhere you go is gay. It's hard-pressing to get someplace where it's not a gay place. The second thing is, I know that we should focus on political issues with politicians, but our country and the way that it is, fluff is what matters. And I know pastors in Texas who swear by Rick Perry. So maybe this is what it will take to let them see who he really is.
That's right, sweetheart. That's right, ma'am.
And then the third comment is that I just called the GOP office in San Antonio, and they changed the application for precinct registration to December 13, and it has to be received by them by December 12, or they won't take it. And I think it's good that this thing's come out, because Perry is a real slime ball, and he's really rolling a lot of Christians. And this thing needs to go so viral to the point that Christians understand. Maybe the corridor doesn't matter, but this does. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, there you maybe making little girls take shots that kill them doesn't matter, but this does. It's just insane, the whole thing.
It's a matter of character, Alex. You know, people ask me, you know, they'll compare a politician to a whore. Here's the difference between a whore and a politician, Alex. A whore will only do a few certain things for money, but a politician like Rick Perry will do anything for money.
Oh, power. boy. Let's come back and talk to Seth, Michael, and a few others with our guest Richard Reeves here to talk about Ron Paul today. Now here we are right in the middle of this situation. Have you ever had sex with Rick Perry? That's the big ad in the Chronicle right now. They ran it in their big weekly issue. You can get his phone number and more there right off the flyer. We'll be right back. Yeah, there must be some kind of way out of here, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Robert Morrow is our guest. And again, I shied away from this a month ago because the name rung a bell. But then since this broke, I did more research and found out a lot of people are vouching for Robert. And now it appears that these are the official expense reports. Just in the email that's posted on an Obama site, there's hundreds and hundreds of pages of them. And so we're going to ferret that out. We found news articles from 2 years ago reporting that indeed the la-di-da thing, la-ti-da, did happen.
Right.
And so if...
Well, this just demonstrates what a bulldog Robert Morrow is, because he's been the number one catalyst on this aspect of Rick Perry. And I know he's been working at it for two or three months, if not longer. And yep. here
the document, Cam, we did find it. Even though it was in the news, I don't believe it. This is from the State of Texas Ethics Committee. Can I have a document cam shot here? Thank you. ethics.state.texas.us/php/fsearch/simple/php. You go to the Texas Ethics Commission, you type in law-t-da, Texans for Rick Perry, business meeting, and reportedly he was at that. And this is the $78 that was spent. And the news is reporting that he was reportedly there. But, Robert, you're saying he's spinning this to say that, sorry to interrupt, they just brought this into me. You know, I'm the king of that.
Yep. He's spinning it to say that, oh, that was Anita going there, not me. You know, which is baloney, you know. And yeah, just because you go to a all-male gay drag review doesn't mean you're gay. But the point is, the rumors on Rick Perry's homosexuality here in Austin are voluminous, intense, and they will not go away. And we need to move beyond the hearsay stage and have folks come forward, go on their record, and expose this fraud for what he is.
You were trying to say something, Richard, when I was given the actual State of Texas report.
Well, I was just referring to Robert Morrow's hard work on this. He's definitely been a bulldog, and he's a great researcher. He's done a lot of research. He's researched JFK. You could have him on as a guest for the JFK coming up in November. Robert Morrow is an encyclopedia about the JFK issue as well. So the guy does a lot of work and footwork and research, and him bringing this to fruition here on the Alex Jones Show today is the result of a lot of work on his part to bring it.
Well, you know, though, I don't do sexual scandals. You ever
right.
notice that?
No, I know.
Just because, I mean, this crook's got enough evidence as
absolutely.
It is.
We can get him on a million other things that
well,
he's
Alex,
done.
It relates to his crony capitalism. You know the same folks who are doing the HPV, the same folks who are pushing the toll roads, the same folks who are pushing all the in my opinion, crooked real estate deals, they're his cronies. Who do you think he's running around with when they rent a nice hotel here in Austin, Texas, and they call up the escort services and comp Rick Perry a night of fun and games, right?
That doesn't sound fun to me.
For Rick Perry, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, can I diverge just a little bit from this topic right now and go back to remind everybody? I know this is the last segment of the program today, it looks like.
No, it's not, Richard. We're going into Super Total Ultra Drive.
Well, I don't think so. But anyway, the birthday money bomb for Ron Paul starts tonight at midnight. RonPaul2012.com. RonPaul2012.com. And yes, Ron Paul can win. Everybody, go to your counties and find out about becoming a precinct chairman in your county. And you got to get to these precinct conventions in your counties, in your states, the precinct caucuses. This is absolutely more important than donating money.
It is important, but but that's a nice spin. You've plugged that four times now.
I'm sorry, Alex.
No, I'm glad you're plugging it, but we're going to have to go into super overdrive for 10 more minutes to finish. Well, we can't get to Daniel, Michael, Robert, and Seth because they'd have to be on our phone system because we've got to leave the Genesis Network at this point. I tell you what, that's it for this transmission. Robert, praying for you, buddy. And we'll see you back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. I'll say bye to Robert as we end the main transmission. Good job, crew.